Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Hey, there's even a bridge! This is great! You can put six packs of soda in here. Milk, yogurt, you can put candy bars in the freezer.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Hey, I tell you what, you can take a good look at a butcher's ass by sticking your head up there, but wouldn't you rather take his word for it? No, I mean, you can get a good look at a T-bone by sticking your head up a butcher's ass, but then, no, it's got to be your bull.
Paul Perillo.
I have what doctors call a bit of a weight problem. I used to grab bear claws as a kid, two at a time.
That guy in little coat. That guy in little coat.
And Andy. And Andy?
You know where the weight room is?
Andy Hart.
Were you watching Spank Revision? Maybe you were watching a movie with that funny comedian. Oh, what's his name? Buddy Wackett?
Hey, that's a pretty girl down there.
Geez, I wonder if she goes out with one of the Yankees.
Eric Scalavino.
I don't like you. Probably never will. You're a smug, unhappy little man, and you treat people like they were idiots.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
I'm going to make a toast to the best bunch of freaks ever born. Maybe we weren't the smartest guys.
Maybe we spent a little too much time puking off balconies.
But we had fun, huh? Yeah!
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. We've thawed out from Chicago. We're back in the safe confines of Gillette Stadium, ready to talk football for the next 2 hours here. I can't wait. Big win over the Chicago Bears. Unbelievable. The Patriots just keep rolling. And I actually want to read an article, a column by Dan Shaughnessy today. It was, I'd say 80% good was good. I have some issues with the end of it. But he came out with some very, very interesting stats, just off-the-wall stuff for the Patriots. We'll get to that later. But Bears, we're going to talk about the Packers. A lot of stuff. The Jets imploding, which is just – just made my weekend even better, you know, just giddy. So Andy's here. Paul's here. Is Eric in today? No?
No.
No? He's not here?
Where is he?
Well, he won't.
Oh. Oh.
He won't be later?
No? No.
Okay, so webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the ACE ticket hotline. I'll bet you ACE tickets burning up these days, huh? Their phone lines. Everybody's on the bandwagon now.
Sure.
Whether you're local or national, the Patriots are the best team in the NFL, no doubt. Is that correct?
It is one of the fastest growing national bandwagons that I've seen. Like 3 weeks ago, I don't remember a lot of people buying in. And now all of a sudden you can't find anybody who's not buying.
Because they were clamoring for it. And not just the Patriots. They were clamoring for a team to separate.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
And now you have now
and
they
the team
have
has
someone.
Done so. Right.
They were Absolutely. At a loss. They were at a loss because they, you know, I don't who do I latch onto? Who do
and,
I
and
pick?
It's true. Yeah. Not to say anything bad about those national people, but
no,
truly,
I didn't mean it that way.
There truly wasn't a team that was head and shoulders.
Yeah, I didn't mean it in a negative way. I just people were still skeptical. Andy hits it right on the head. I mean, people were waiting for a team to emerge while that team emerged the last 2 weeks.
And it is the New England Patriots, a big 36-7 win in a, you know, not a blizzard, but pretty tough conditions.
What is a blizzard?
I don't know. I think it has something to do with sight. You can't see or something like that.
I thought it was a certain amount of snow and
a certain amount of wind.
Maybe. Yeah.
And I'm guessing we failed on the snow.
Visibility doesn't have anything
wind
to
was,
do with it.
The wind was probably there, but I don't think the snow was that.
Yeah.
But we overblew it a little bit. I thought the weather didn't quite live up to the hype.
Yeah, everybody I talked to who was on the field, our photographers, Moose, who's the cameraman for CNS and NNEE, and even Bill Belichick himself said, you know, it wasn't that bad.
Right.
You know,
at times it was.
Yeah.
You know, we even noticed it. It almost seemed like it was always between plays, I thought. At timeouts, you would see these huge walls of wind and snow blow across the field and then up into the stands at times, like right at the Bears bench, and they all the coaches turned and put their back into it.
Yeah.
But I never really saw too many of those where it was like it affected a play.
Right.
Yeah, there were a couple I thought that you could see, a couple of wobbly passes out of nowhere that may have been affected, but
for Cutler or Brady?
For Brady, one in particular, one of the ones that got that should have been intercepted by Urlacher, I think, was going virtually end over end, which you never see Tom do that. So that's why I know that the wind had some effect on it. But Bill talked after the game about nothing compared to that Buffalo game. It was not. We talked all last week. If the wind is such that it's going to prevent you from throwing the football effectively, then what happens? Well, the wind wasn't like that. And to be honest with you, the Patriots defense played really well. I didn't think Cutler was overly adversely affected by the wind either. I think the Patriots defense played well against Cutler. I don't think that Cutler threw a lot of passes that I thought, he would. He probably completes that in good weather.
It was 7-0 when you gave the nod, Paul. And why don't you say when you gave it? Because it was an interesting time to give it.
Yeah, when the second possession for Chicago, they had a 3rd and 18, was it?
It was a long
3rd and 14, yeah, 3rd and 18, and Cutler threw a deep square into Johnny Knox for 20 yards and a first down.
A rope.
Right, and I looked and I said, okay, you can throw the ball in either direction. Because when you're in the press box, you don't know exactly what's going on in the field.
Right.
In terms of conditions. I know that Brady could throw the ball the direction the Patriots were going because they just went on an 85-yard drive and completed like 3 3rd and 12s on that drive. So I knew that Brady could throw the ball one way, and when I saw Cutler throw it effectively the other way, I said, that's game, because Chicago will not stop the Patriots today. Brady can throw the ball effectively either way.
Sure enough. That you gave the nod at 7-0, and the Patriots just ran away with the game. I don't know what else he can say about, you know, how well the Patriots are playing right now. You know, these are supposed to be some pretty good teams that they've gone up against lately. Pittsburgh, the Jets.
Certainly supposed to be pretty
Bears.
Good defenses.
Yeah, and they're just handling these guys. There is no one has an answer for Brady right now, who's playing out of his mind. Wes Welker seems to be getting better each week. Branch is staying healthy and is on the same page with Brady. Gostkowski doesn't seem to be hitting a rookie wall right now. Hernandez, okay, they're not using him as much, but I got a feeling that there's more to come with Aaron Hernandez.
I think part of that, I still go back to the Pittsburgh thing. The Bears are another team that has some pressure, has some pass rushers. I think Gronkowski benefits from his dual role, as he can be in there all the time, and sometimes he's helping out in pass protection, other times he's out as a pass catcher.
And Woodhead and Green Ellis are doing exactly what the Patriots need him to do. It's
certainly Green Ellis. Green Ellis has been as consistent as you can get in the role he's in right now for the last month.
Yeah.
And 4 or 5 games here.
Let's put it, you know, the best way I could describe Green Ellis right now is he's not leaving any yards in the field. If there's a yard to be had, he gets it. Unlike other guys in the past who you know, didn't do that to their own detriment. Well, you know, Lawrence Maroney.
All right. See, it's not a big deal. It's a
why
fair point.
You rip every other guy that leaves here. Why can't you rip him when he's out the door?
Last week on the TV show, you ripped a guy who's still here. Yeah.
And who went out, by the way, and kicked 3 for 3 on field goals. His kickoffs were fine. Coverage wasn't so good.
I asked him after the game if he ever almost missed one right, left, and barely squeaked one over the crossbar all on the same kick. He started laughing, and that's the one he told that story that I put in there. Yeah. He had one that he said he kicked into a 70-mile-an-hour wind, which, you know.
I don't buy.
I'm doubting that it was 70 miles an hour, but.
But fish was this big.
Yeah, but Green Ellis doesn't leave any yards in the field. And Woodhead,
and he doesn't leave the ball on the field.
You know,
either.
Woodhead is as solid as ever. He, you know, there was one noticeable block he missed on Peppers, but I'm sure.
Peppers played well, by
the
way.
Yeah, he's not the first guy that's missed Peppers on a.
There wasn't too much that stood out on Chicago. Julius Peppers stood out.
He had a good game.
I thought Urlacher stood out, too.
I thought he did, too.
He's back to the Urlacher where Bill was right when he talked about how tall he is and the range and the ability to get his hands on balls.
Totally
agree. He did that all day, and then he nearly killed Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah, I agree. He was pretty good, too. But, you know, too little too late, as they say.
Because the Bears do what Bears do in the woods.
In the woods. You almost blew your own line. You pulled a
Fred. It's not my line.
It's Fred.
If anyone's interested, be sure to check out PFW TV. Fred steals the show this week with his favorite line.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but
I'm just not feeling that.
What
show
is that
anymore.
Called? In the pictures segment or whatever?
Images of the week.
Images of the week.
Brought to you by Jack Daniels.
When does that come?
When I act like I'm drunk. What?
You're also drunk in the Around the NFL segment then.
Yeah.
What's that brought to you by?
I don't know.
Bud Light.
I'm just, you know, I think now we're on at noon. I don't know.
3 a.m.?
Actually, noon would be better, maybe.
We actually, our lead-in is the bars, the colored bars, and
no,
then us.
We're fighting with
Urban. No, they play the national anthem first.
We're fighting with Urban Update for the ratings at 3 in the morning.
Urban Update.
So, I don't know. It's just, I'm not feeling it.
So, Freddie, hello, Brett Favre. Tell me when you heard the report that he was inactive last
Where
night.
Were you?
You still thought that he was going to play, didn't you?
Yeah, I thought there would be some
I
way
I thought he was
going to
run down the tunnel and say, I can give it a go,
like,
coach.
Like, I know when you issue that thing, like you can't, you know, that's it. It's like when you declare a pinch hitter or one
right.
of those rules.
Once he's announced.
But I figured there'd be some way that they'd get around that rule.
Yeah, but I heard he wasn't going to play at like 5 o'clock. So I was like, that can't be the official right. inactive list out yet.
Yeah.
That's usually only an hour before the game, isn't it?
At least give him credit for not doing the cheapo
I could care
thing.
Less,
just
but
coming out
I did,
to take a
I did hear
snap.
That,
I give him no credit for that.
I did hear that minutes after the announcement was made on his website, they were auctioning, or not auctioning, they were selling signed balls with, you know, 287 or whatever the number is for $499. $499. So, you know.
Minutes after that, I think they sold zero. Who's going to pay $500 for that stupid football?
Oh, there's a lot of Brett Favre fans out there.
Yeah.
Real? No, there are. Come on, let's face it.
Yeah, there are fans. That's a lot of money. To me, you spend a lot of money on something that's rare.
All right.
He's already proving himself that his items won't be rare.
The memorabilia.
Do you want me to stop this now?
Okay.
Same thing, Bo Jackson, you're not interested?
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah,
if you had the money, you would.
But honestly, the reason things are that expensive is the rarity. And him doing it 2 minutes after it ends proves this memorabilia is not going to be a rarity.
No, but there's a certain it's a limited
I'm going to be
amount.
Available
so
for
they
the
sell 100, and there's 100 of them in the world, you know?
See, it's like Ted Williams. He was valuable right up until Ted Williams' crap was everywhere.
You know, I was at a years ago, before I worked here, I was at an auction, and they had a Tiger Woods red Nike shirt, you know, the one he wears on Sunday, signed in a frame. And I bid on it, and I bid quite a bit, and I got beat out by Dan Kraft.
You had no chance in that.
I had no chance.
Wow.
So
just think of where that shirt had been, though. And I'm not talking about the golf course.
I'm
talking about, you know, bending girls over cars in parking lots.
Okay. Let's keep it clean here. All right. So
yeah, we do need to.
In case you didn't know what he was talking about.
Paul, we got to talk.
Right.
You know, all these fraud radio stations like to come on and say, oh, we're number one, we're the greatest, ratings are up. Well, you know what? I'm going to go against the curve. Our ratings are way down this month, so we need to change the show in December.
Our ratings are down?
Well,
I am not happy.
What happened?
Significantly.
It's interesting because last year
on
Patriots.com, we had about 5.1 million requests for audio or video. This month we had about 5 million. So we're not down that much.
Our ratings are down 24%.
Well, I don't know.
I do. I just ran the numbers.
Yeah.
Although, I do have one out. Kevin is the one who collates and calculates all the numbers, so there's a good chance there's an error in there somewhere.
Not really. I just kind of read them and put them into a spreadsheet.
I was told you put them together.
I don't calculate
Press conferences were way up, you say?
Video press conferences were virtually the only thing that was up. All other items
I know the AK-47 show drew well.
See, that's my point. That's where your head is at.
So, I don't know, but it's still pretty remarkable, the number we're getting in.
No, not really.
And
down 24% is not remarkable to me.
On Friday, I checked iTunes for the Sports and Recreation podcast, and PFW in Progress, not all the other stuff that the Patriots put out, the press conference, just our show was number 20 in that list, you know, right up there with PTI and Bill Simmons and all those, you know, ESPN
Maybe their
stuff.
Ratings are down, too.
So, you know, I'm still convinced that, you know, we're doing okay.
I'm not.
Andy's not happy.
We stink.
You think it had something to do with Thanksgiving and the holidays, perhaps? Or
perhaps.
You know, people have, they don't have 2 hours to devote to listening to us with all the family stuff going on and all that.
It's because the Patriots have been playing so well.
And remember that week,
pitch.
We only had one show, right?
We had 12 shows this month, 11 last month. It's apples to apples.
How is that possible?
I don't know. I'm just going by the spreadsheet I'm sent with the ratings.
On Thanksgiving, we only had one show that week.
It said we had 12 shows in the month.
How is that?
Well, if you shrink the number, it'll
right
help my
there,
ratings.
That might have been the problem right there. Maybe the number of shows is incorrect.
Okay.
Because you can't count a replay show.
Did someone just assume that we did 12 shows because that's what we do every month?
No, I count the shows.
So how do we have 12 with only one
I don't know. I can go recount if you'd like right now, Fred.
I'd like a hand recount.
And then, mind you, you had
back to Florida. We, you know, get hanging.
And then
chats.
You had we had the bonus show, the pregame show.
That was in December.
Oh yeah, you're right. I lose track.
Oh
of
boy,
ones. I'll count right now.
That's my point. I got, yeah.
Yeah.
I lose
see,
track.
I don't think it's as bad as you think, Andy.
And right. I also wanted to point out, I go to pfwinprogress.com, our website, and they're talking about taking the website down.
It's not our website.
Not getting no, but it's about us.
No one's yeah. going to it anymore.
They're not getting. You know, James isn't happy with the traffic that to the boards. People aren't going there and you know chatting as much. We lost it. We're done.
Hey, we're yesterday's news, Andy.
We really are.
What are you gonna do?
We peaked.
Well, certainly the Patriots are hot, not just
we're
around
not.
Here, but around nationally. Everyone is just in love with this team, at least the way they're playing. I mean, there's still the haters out there, but, you know, the Chris Carters who say that Deion Branch disappears and Deion Sanders who,
he did say big games, didn't he?
And Marshall Faulk who always finds a reason to pick against the Patriots.
I have no problem with that.
I
just
do.
Like you always pick against the Jets.
I don't, though. Look, Paul, look at your little notebook this year. I picked them last week and lost.
You didn't pick them last week. That was against the Patriots.
No, I'm talking about this Sunday. I picked the Jets.
You did. You picked them this week.
But
you
know, more often than not, you're going to pick against the Jets.
And I'm
okay
convinced.
With that.
The only
not,
reason
no,
why you picked the Jets
I'm
this
okay
week
with
is
personal biases.
We were on the bus when you made your picks because you were in L.A. last week. On the radio, I don't think you ever would have pulled the trigger on saying,
I'm going to
go with the Jets.
I'll bet you that if you look in your notebook, I've picked the Jets more often than not this year.
Okay.
It's just the truth.
Speaking of biases, just
yeah.
a quick thing I noted last night. I was watching the game, Houston, Baltimore, and I thought John Gruden was very critical of the Texans. And I don't can't
I
remember
heard,
him being critical of anyone.
I heard one segment where he was really talking about how the defense, you know, that it's basically Mario Williams.
Needs help.
It.
Some
yeah.
of these guys.
D'Amico Ryans is out. Cushing is, you know, he missed the four games. He hasn't been himself.
Akobi
let Dante
whatever,
Robinson
needs
go.
To step
yeah.
up. Some of these guys need to
yeah.
start making, you know,
I,
you go
I,
from
I
young
that
to
same
old.
Segment.
Well, he said the same thing. There was a segment on offense where he was talking a little bit, and I'm thinking either he's got no chance of ever coaching in Houston or –
That's
he's going
he
to Houston,
right?
And he's telling him how he's going to fix
right,
it.
Right.
I think that one would make a lot of sense.
Yeah,
I think
but
I do too.
But they gave him an extension, huh? Kubiak. They gave him a 3-year deal.
I don't know.
Well,
sooner or later, you got to pull the plug on that.
I read, you know, I think it was Florio today wrote that the one thing that has been decent with the Texans is their offense, and you want to keep that continuity,
oh, yeah.
and that's Kubiak.
But
you know.
I mean, Gruden's a pretty good offensive coach. I think if you give him the leading
yeah.
rusher in the NFL, a decent young quarterback, and one of the best receivers
yeah.
in the league, he'll have some offense.
I got to stop turning off those Monday night games because they all end up, a team comes back, and they get into overtime.
Yeah.
I turned it off at 21-0 and said, yeah.
Just how tired and cranky would you be today had you not
no
turned
kidding.
It off?
No kidding. I'm tired enough as it is.
And cranky.
All right, webradio at patriots.com.
You're like a bear in the woods.
It's the email address. It's webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482. Is the Ace Ticket Hotline. I want to get to this Dan Shaughnessy column today. I thought it was
really?
A good column. It's called The Numbers Don't Lie. And, I mean, I can read it if you want, or I can just get to the – you know, he comes out and he's saying how this might be the best coaching job so far. Talks about it being Belichick's Sistine Chapel. You know, he's painting the Sistine Chapel this year. This could be his definitive coaching job. It's interesting. He says, from the middle of the third quarter against the Lions into the early part of the third quarter against the Bears, the Patriots outscored three opponents by a margin of 109-3. That's 109-3. If you break it down to eight quarters against the 9-2 Jets and the 9-3 Bears, the Patriots won 81-10. Over the last 10 quarters, the Patriots have scored 116 points. And then it gets into Brady's record. The Patriots have not committed a turnover in the last five games. They have only 9 turnovers all season. The NFL record for fewest turnovers is 13.
Good,
you know,
that.
So he goes on to, you know, say how great this, you know, how Bill Russell talked about when he was with the Celtics, how they'd get into a zone, and all fine and good. Then he gets into the types of players they have. He says, what we are seeing this year is perhaps the best demonstration of Belichick's system overwhelming every other element. When the Patriots are right, the whole is always better than the sum of the parts. This is a team with two undrafted free agents in the backfield. This is a team which Sunday lost a player who'd started every game at linebacker, Brandon Spikes, inserted a guy from the UFL's Florida Tuskers, Eric Moore, and watched the new guy strip sack Jay Cutler to set up a first-half field goal. Moore is one of 19 players who have started on defense for the Patriots this season. So, great, okay? But then he ends it. Then he ends it by saying, the Patriots are in the playoffs for the seventh time in eight seasons. They are the first team to punch a ticket in the tournament. They have all but officially clinched home field for January. Anything less than Dallas in February is going to be a disappointment. So which is it? They're overachieving with a bunch of guys who weren't drafted and so on? Or, you know, they're expected to win the Super Bowl? I think that's where he gets off track there.
Well, I think he got off track in a couple facts that I'm not sure are accurate. Yeah. I'm not sure Brandon Spikes started every game this year, and did Eric Moore start on Sunday?
I know Brandon Spikes didn't start every game.
And I'm pretty sure Moore didn't start on Sunday.
Yeah. Either, but
that's two facts right there that he effed up.
You know, but the point there is, yeah, they've had a lot of guys who've played over their heads or played within a system.
But let me ask you this, and this came to me while you were reading
it. He also stole a line, which...
Okay, we'll get to that. Yeah. This personal attack you can get to later. Paul, you and I argued this point for Belichick, greatest coaching season on All Access. And I said 2001. And, you know, you go through a quarterback change. Something that I think hurts the value of his coaching job in 2001 is the fact that Brady was to go on to be one of the greatest quarterbacks that's ever played the game, regardless of what he was at the time.
I know what you mean.
So in 3 years from now, if Patrick Chung is an all-pro safety and Devin McCourty is the best corner in the game and Rob Gronkowski is on the way to a Hall of Fame career and Sebastian Vollmer is one of the best tackles in the... Does that change what he's doing now? Or do you just flat out give him credit because he's got young players playing?
No, but now you go to the draft and say, okay, the personnel Bill Belichick did a great job. See, again, it's all perspective. Right now,
but my point is, why wasn't it the scheme last year, and it's the scheme this year? And when it's good, it's the scheme. When it's bad, it's
you need both. You need both.
It's the player's fault, but it's never the players that are doing the job.
Yeah,
it's always Bill.
And I think that's what ruffles some of the players' feathers.
Teddy Bruschi. It ruffles the hell out of him. I can tell you, it really, really bothers him.
But I would say that it is a little bit different to have, like you just said, if all of those things happen, you know, it's a little bit different to have five or six young guys that ended up being blossomed into Pro Bowlers, and maybe you don't look at it as but to have them all rookies.
No, I know,
at
but
the
I'm
same
just
time,
saying
they didn't do it with five guys like Brady in
we 2001. Throw around these things, and like he said, you know, you got two.
What's the matter?
You all right?
My ears just popped or something. You got two undrafted backs in the backfield. Well, isn't Arian Foster undrafted? And he's leading the NFL in like you can label these things, but at some point they just are what they are on the field for you at that point.
Well, and the other part that I would agree with Fred on here, and even though, as to use your line, Fred, the conditions on the ground changed, I would say right now they are expected to go to the Super Bowl.
Sure,
right.
I think any number one seed in a conference should be expected to go to the Super Bowl, but I don't think that you would look at it as say like 2007 if they end up not getting there.
Right.
Where, oh my God, this is one of the most monumental, epic collapses and chokes.
I mean, if they get to the AFC Championship and lose, God forbid, really is the season a disappointment?
But even if they lost the first, it would be a disappointment, yes.
But you're not stone cold stunned.
Right.
Right.
It's not like this team was head and shoulders better than everybody for 4 months. Right now, they're head and shoulders better than everybody. And yes, I will be shocked if they were to go out and lose come the middle of January in the division around here. But it could happen. You know,
but even now,
if it does happen,
Brady threw the ball to the Bears five times. You were giving up 40-yard kickoff returns like it's your job. I don't remember seeing things like that as often in 2007, as Paul said, when they were just, oh my God, this is the best team in the world. They're going to roll right into the Super Bowl. Whereas I've seen enough of these games where if Urlacher holds on to the ball, if they get a couple picks, and all of a sudden one of those returns breaks to the house, it's a different ball game. So we still see the warts on this team.
The play before. Now, listen, I think the way the game unfolded Sunday, it would have simply just meant 29-7 instead of 36-7. But the very first drive of the game, the Bears flat out flubbed an interception in the end zone. Flat out drop. Urlacher jumps in the passing lane, deflects it in the air, and the guy in the back of the end zone just dropped a tip. Do you know how hard it is to drop a tip?
Yeah.
You know, the ball's not even moving at that point. So I don't, you know, now all of a sudden, instead of 7-0, it's nothing, and the Bears did what the Bears do all the time.
Right.
They bend, they come up with a play, and they have the ball on the 20-yard line. So the game, I mean, that was a fairly big play in the game. again, the way the game unfolded, I'm thinking it probably would have been 29-7 instead of 36-7. But the game could have changed. So that is Andy's point. It is a fine line, you know, with some of the things that you're doing. That's why, in a lot of ways, Bill was probably thrilled to have all of these talking points that are legit this week. The kick returns, the 3 points in the second half. I thought they played outstanding offense in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
They held the ball for 20 out of 30 minutes. They moved the ball at will. They made sure that Chicago never had a sniff of coming back.
But they didn't punch it in.
But they only get 3 points. That's perfect for Bill.
Right.
You know, that's perfect.
A punt return that you screw up because of a penalty.
Penalty to negate a touchdown on a punt return. There's enough legitimate things for Bill to point to where it's not like, hey, listen, we allowed Chicago to go 3 for 3 on third downs between 15 and 14
right.
yards.
Right.
You know, it's some silly thing that he has to manufacture to get their attention. He has legitimate things that he can point to.
Right. 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Larry from Miami's on the phone. Hey, Larry.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hello, Larry.
Yeah, man. Freezing down here, man.
Oh, suck it up.
No.
Last 4 days I've spent in weather that was minus. Minus. It starts with a minus. Until your thermometer starts with a minus, don't talk to me.
Well, I went to school in Virginia, so I know about the minuses.
Way down in Virginia. I mean, yeah. Way up in Virginia. That's right next to the North Pole, right?
Yep. No, guys, I just wanted to call. It was just an awesome game that on Sunday, you know, even though the weather was bad, but, you know, that's what we're good at. So, you know, there's no – the only thing I wanted to three things I wanted to find out. Is McCourty okay?
Well, according to the Boston Herald, he avoided a major injury. He could miss a game, but avoided the major injury.
But we don't know what that means.
We don't, and I don't always trust these reports, so I don't know any more today than I knew yesterday.
And I'm trying to analyze that, you know, that forced fumble, and then I'm trying to see how he fell. It was on snow, so I don't know what's going on.
I mean, we don't know if that was the play. Nobody really knows, so, yeah.
Certainly would be a big loss if it was anything other than a short-term thing, because I think he's developed into one of the, you know, you kind of have Wilfork, Mayo, McCourty. As that development front to back.
And even if he's not 100%, you know, for a cornerback, how much does that affect?
Sure.
Know?
Going up to get the ball, twisting, hip rotation, torque rotation, everything.
Yep.
Yeah, because, you know, you got to breathe, too.
Yep.
There's a rib injury.
That's
you can't breathe.
You do need to breathe. It all kind of starts with that.
Good point.
And just like I was talking to you and Paul, Andy, you were talking about the last show about, you know, Brandon Merriweather probably be his last year.
Yep.
I was thinking, what's the chances of us drafting one of those top safeties coming out? I believe one in LSU, number 7. I forgot his name.
Oh, Patterson. Patrick Patterson.
What's the chances of us?
He's a corner in college, I believe, but maybe he projects to safety. He's a very good athlete. I don't know a ton about him other than what I see on TV. I mean,
he's a very big corner.
Yeah, he's very fast, too. Very, very fast guy.
I'm always scared of those. What is he? Anytime the question starts with corner and safety, I'm always concerned. But I wouldn't put safety at the top of the needs at this point, because you could always bring Merriweather back. I mean, there's no guarantee he's not out there. You know, I like Sanders. Obviously, Patrick Chung is developing. Injury may be a concern with him, his health. Page, they seem to like. So there are some bodies there. And if you're talking about having to take a guy with one of your first 2-3 picks, you know, I could list other needs that I think I'd like to fill in before I get to safety.
Oh, no. I'm talking about, like, you know, the second round, because you've got the first pick in the second round.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it depends. I mean, I still have my eyes on a pass rusher, an edge guy, whoever that elite guy is. And I still think wide receiver and running backs are places you need to target.
Yeah, I would agree with all three.
And you may need to trade to get, I mean, if there's a guy that fills that edge role, I'm willing to trade that first pick of the second round to move up, whatever it is. This team, to me, needs a pass rush. It needs a guy that can play that position, and I think you need to sell out to get it, however it is.
That's true. I wish that Raiders were losing enough so we had got, like, one of the top 3 picks.
Well, if they'd stop freaking rushing for, like, 600 yards a game, maybe they would lose. You know, if that McFadden would end his career now.
I wouldn't wish him to get hurt, but...
I will.
You know, but it's
no,
good.
Fred will do that.
But, another thing I noticed that we're getting, even though it was a bad game, like, you know, bad weather game, we're getting a little pressure with this new kid, Eric Moore. Moore.
Yeah, more or less.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah, I wouldn't hold out hope for him to be the future of the pass rush. What is he, a fifth-year veteran, Paul, who's been with a few teams, few leagues?
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, but, you know.
It's a nice story. I agree. Nice little story.
It's a nice story. It could be our Cameron Wake. You never know.
Yeah, you never know.
You do never know. Now, Cameron Wake was back-to-back Defensive Player of the Year with 39 sacks in Canada over two seasons. Eric Moore, I didn't see the press releases for his performance with the Tuskers.
They may not record sacks with the UFL.
Oh, my God, they record everything. Michael Preston, their PR guy, sends me a release every 5 minutes. No offense, Mike.
Okay.
All right, Larry. Larry,
yeah,
from,
all right, guys.
See you, Larry. Larry, thanks, from Miami. Larry. Thanks for the call.
Watch out for those helicopters. You see what they're doing down there?
Trying
they're,
to warm
they're
up.
They're hovering
the
helicopters over the crops to blow the air down warmer from up above.
Wow.
Because they must be a sight to see. Just
there was like an 11-day cold snap in January last year, and they lost a lot of the crops.
So they're trying to avoid
it. Trying to avoid that.
Global warming. Florida's screwed out of crops year after year.
James Cuff of PFW in Progress writes in and says, just wanted
Jimmy!
To say, I'm not closing down the
site.
I was just in a bit of an Andy-like rating slump when I saw the traffic was down. I'm going to make some changes to the site, and lots of people have some great ideas, which may include you guys getting some more free lunch.
Yes.
Keep up the good work. The shows have been great this year. They've really kept me in good spirits while I've been working away from home.
Fred, can he put pictures of cheerleaders on that site by any chance in any way?
If we let him.
Because I'm always a believer that hot women help traffic on internet sites.
Oh.
And if he needs a little help with his traffic.
I think you're probably right there.
Extensive research in the internet.
I'm an expert in this area.
Yeah. Tracy hot in women. Vegas says, Andy, step away from the ledge. If your numbers were down in November, it could be related to holiday traveling. A lot of us listen at work and we take more time off over November and December. So that could be.
I think we lost it. I think we're like the Jets.
Well, really.
Overrated.
No, but Andy, it's incorrect to compare month to month. It's year to year. So you have to look at November of last year.
No, but I need to be consistent. I've been happy every month for like a year and a half because the numbers have gone up every single month.
No, but there are trends.
So now when they fall off the face of the planet, like Wile E. Coyote going off a cliff.
I'll tell you that the way the web works is, you know, September,
the web
September will be our biggest month until and if we start to get closer to the Patriots, I mean to the playoffs, then December will be, you know, rival September. But you'll see a dip from, you know, October, November, and then it'll go back up in December. So I'm not surprised. It's just the way people are. And that's always been the way with you know, Patriots.
But it hasn't. We've gone up every month for like over a year. I've been keeping track. I have quite the ego.
He certainly does.
And now we've fallen off the planet. So either we suck or the numbers are effed up.
Well, it could be. Maybe.
Got to get those numbers straightened out there, Phil.
Can you fix those numbers so it makes it say we went up?
No, it's not the alternative.
And Michael says from Wikipedia, a blizzard is a severe storm condition characterized by low temperatures, strong winds, and can include heavy snow. By definition, the difference between blizzard and snowstorm is the strength of the wind. To be a blizzard, a snowstorm must have winds in excess of 56 miles or 35 miles per hour. Additionally, blizzards must reduce visibility to 400 meters or 1,300 feet and must last for a prolonged period of time, typically 3 hours or more. So visibility does have
something
to do with it.
Did it say can include snow?
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
I lost faith in that description once it said can include snow. Because I've never seen a blizzard that had no snow.
From Wikipedia.
It's like Paul's sun showers out on the practice field.
Well, evidently you've never seen one of those.
Brent writes in, hey boys and Eric, what a fun game on Sunday. The weather was horrible, but the stands, at least near me, were about one-third full of Pats fans. It was a great showing by our team. I thought that Brady was masterful. I know you guys and Eric were in the press box at the far end of the field for the grand field goal that went right, then left, and then just cleared the crossbar. So I don't think you saw that the ball was actually going backwards toward the field when it crossed the bar. It was incredible. All in all, impressed with Graham and how he has stepped into the shoes of a Pro Bowl kicker. By the way, what did you think of the college-type entertainment at the stadium and the stadium itself? Drums, fight song, old 80s music. I really had a great time on Sunday. Way to show up, Chicago Pats fans. I didn't hear much of the band.
Yeah, I didn't hear much. I saw the band early coming out and doing stuff, but I never really heard
it. That's all I saw. Other than that, I mean,
I enjoyed the eating contest at one
point. It wasn't a big game presentation game because of the weather, but I did know that the ball was coming back toward the the crossbar.
So I almost got my wish.
On replay. It would be good.
No, it's not good.
If it goes over the crossbar.
And doesn't touch anything and blows back out, it's not good.
Oh, I thought
the crossbar is not like the goal line. The crossbar, no. The play does not end.
Oh,
as long as it hasn't touched anything.
Oh, okay.
I believe.
Because I know if it hits that camera, if it hits the camera, it's good.
Well, if it hits the camera, yeah.
I think if it blows back out, it's not good.
Okay. All right.
Can I get video of that? I want to see that. I didn't notice
that.
Yeah,
I saw on the replay you could see it coming back a little bit. Buffalo, I remember one year with Vinatieri, it was unbelievable. The ball just went up and came back down. I mean, but it never made the,
right.
Never made it anywhere close.
Kamani writes in, I said it a couple weeks ago and I'll say it again. This team, especially the defense, is Super Bowl ready. They beat up the Steelers, blew out the Jets, and toyed with the Bears in the worst conditions. Who's left? No one really. Atlanta, they're good, but very beatable, especially the way the Pats throw underneath. The Saints are a paper tiger. This is it, Fred. Trophy number four. No one left to stop them but themselves. Well, I don't know.
Especially the defense?
I don't
so
know.
So we're saying the defense is more ready than the offense?
See, these people, Fred, you got to give Shaughnessy some slack. Obviously, this is the way that the fans think, too. If they don't win, it would be a... How did he term it?
A disappointment. Anything less than Dallas in February is a disappointment.
I mean, that's the way that the fans are sort of thinking.
But he always looks down on the fans.
No, I'm just saying that he's in lockstep with the fans right now in terms of that's how they feel.
Yeah.
The only thing I would caution against, listen, the Patriots to me right now are head and shoulders the favorite. But the Patriots lost to the Jets the first time, right, Fred? Did anybody think they wouldn't or couldn't beat them the second time?
No.
You know,
I mean,
you were looking forward to the opportunity to play them again, right?
But no one expected the blowout.
No. I'm not saying that. Yeah. But you lost the first game, and we all picked the Patriots the second time, so we all thought they were going to win.
Right.
Why would any of the teams that the Patriots beat the first time around, like, you know, people are all saying they can't lose. Look, they beat the Chargers, the Colts, the Steelers, the Ravens, the, you know, the Bears. They can't lose. Well, why would any of those teams look and say, I can't win? You know, if I'm in San Diego right now, am I going to look and say, I can't beat them? Or if I'm Baltimore, I can't beat them?
But I think part of it is those teams have had hiccups since. And fans say,
I understand
okay,
that.
The Ravens aren't as good as we thought. The Jets aren't as good as
but
we
the
thought.
Jets were,
the Chargers
the Jets
aren't
were
doing.
Rolling, but no one in New England thought that we couldn't beat the Jets the second time.
No, I know. But now people are saying all these teams not only have the Patriots
but so were
beat
the
them,
Patriots.
But they've fallen off.
Think,
even the Chargers aren't going to be the Chargers of old.
I think the Patriots are head and shoulders the favorite right now. Head and shoulders. I don't think there's anybody close. Atlanta's got the same record, but they're not, I don't think, anywhere near as good a team. I'm fully on board with that. But I'm just saying that if I'm the Ravens or the Colts or the Chargers or anybody, I would relish the opportunity to play the Patriots again.
And they do. I mean, you're just talking about fans.
But I think the Patriots, the way that we're looking at it here in New England, not the team, the fans, is that we've already beaten those teams, so there's no one standing in our way. There's who's left.
See, I think it's because those teams have fallen since as well, and you combine that and say, you know what? We beat them, and they're not playing as well now. We're just better.
Okay.
I think you are better, but that doesn't mean, you know, I'm
pretty
sure.
Like, if the Ravens had been undefeated.
The Jets thought they were better before.
If the Ravens had been undefeated since we played them, or the Chargers had been undefeated since we played them, or the Jets had been undefeated, people would say, ooh, I'm not sure I want to see them again, but you already beat them once, and they've shown warts since then. I think people are just confident.
TG and NJ writes in. It's a little song sung to the tune of Santa Claus is Coming to Town. He says he's talking
a
lot.
Ratings
are
down.
He's making it funner. He's lining up coaches to trip the gunner. Santa Rex is coming to town.
That wasn't bad.
No, that's not bad. We haven't talked about that. That's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
An utter embarrassment.
Yeah. Sam Alosi sticking his knee out.
For Sal.
Isn't his name Sal?
I thought it was Sal.
Yeah, it is Sal Alosi. But
who's Sam Alosi? You go to college with him?
It was just a dumb thing. You can't do that. I might have done it if I was him.
Fred, rational, sane people can't do it. I might have done it.
Fred, you could take the word might have out of that sentence for you.
They'd have to keep me from the sideline because those are the kind of things I would have done. But this is the NFL. You're a professional. It was embarrassing, and it couldn't have happened to a better team.
You're being a jackass.
I just loved it. It just made my weekend when that broke during the game. The press box was buzzing with it, and then the video came out like really quickly afterwards on YouTube. And
I think it's one of the most embarrassing things I've ever seen in any professional sport. really. I think it was unbelievable that someone could do that.
Yeah.
I do. I find it unbelievable that could happen in this day and age.
Why is this different than any other age? Because wasn't there a coach that tackled a player?
The attention that is brought onto these games and whatnot. Yeah. After a play was over, Woody Hayes picked up a player and slugged him, basically.
Oh, okay, after a play.
And way back in the 40s, a guy on the sideline ran off the sideline and tackled a guy running for a touchdown. And they awarded the guy the touchdown. But I'm talking about something like this. The guy clearly did it thinking he was going to get away with it. It wasn't like, I've just lost my mind and I'm going to take a shot. I'm going to try to stop the bleeding here. He thought he was going to get away with it. And to me, that's unbelievable in this day and age with all the attention that the NFL gets, with all the cameras and all the, you know, it could have been any one of a million ways that he wasn't going to get away with that.
I think that's why I think it was a directive. I think he was told to do it. Because I think your natural reaction is, when you see a guy running fast at you with pads on and you don't have pads on, your natural reaction is to get the hell out of the way, not to stick something out to create contact. So that's why I think there's more to this than just one guy. I think that old cuss Westhoff had them lined up there. And the guy said, well, if I'm going to line up here, I might as well try to get the guy. I don't think this was just a lack of judgment.
And you think
on his
he had him line up so that they couldn't use the...
So the guy couldn't just run out of bounds. Apparently this guy has a reputation for doing that.
Oh, really?
So
huh.
That's why I don't think it was just a bad, you know, moment for this guy.
I did read that the NFL will not be investigating about whether or not this was some type of directive or, you know, but...
Why?
Whatever. That's what I read. They're not going to look into it.
I'm okay with that, but why do you announce you're not investigating something? Wouldn't you always want to leave the investigation of anything open?
Well, this is what Florio wrote, so I don't know.
Wait, so when you say a directive, do you think it's a directive that someone said, line up here, and if a guy gets close, to hit him? To trip him?
Don't give him room to use the sidelines.
Oh, I have no problem with that. Don't move is one thing. Doing what the guy did, to me, is another, and I don't think that was
a I also don't think Westhoff specifically told them, if this, then do this, if X, then do this. I want you guys there and make sure he doesn't have free reign of the sideline or whatever.
Yeah, see, now that, to me, is not the same as a directive to do what the guy did. Line up here where you're supposed to be and don't get out of his way. Don't give him a free run down the sideline. I don't think that may have been a directive. I don't have a problem with
that.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. I don't think Westhoff said... When he gets close, slightly nudge your knee out to make contact with his.
Or try to impede him in any way.
Oh, I think they were told to try to impede him.
Well, see, I don't. But I don't know anything about the story, so I shouldn't really comment.
It's good stuff, regardless.
Why would you close an investigation?
It's a travesty, is what it is.
I don't understand that.
I guess, you know, the guy apologized, and they just didn't feel like it was worth investigating, you know. Let's see. Cavern writes in. Hello, guys, but not by Eric. I don't know what that means, but anyway.
Well, Eric will actually be by tomorrow.
Okay, what a game. I have heard. What have we heard about the McCourty injury? Also, if Rodgers is out, should we rest McCourty and pray that Butler isn't burned too badly? As always, great work. Andy is my hero.
Woohoo!
So what do you...
Your friends to listen. Ratings are down.
I mean, I don't think that we'll know about Rodgers until game time, but again, then again, you don't have to announce McCourty until game time either. What do you think about that, Paul? If Rodgers is out, you let McCourty rest.
To me, it's a medical situation. Like Bill said after the game, if he's well enough to play, if he's healthy, then I would play him. If he's banged up and, you know, is only going to get worse by continuing to play, then maybe I would think about sitting him down to rest him. But if he can play, I would play him, whether Rodgers is out there or not.
I hope he plays because I want him to get 8 interceptions, and he's only got 3 games left. So,
yeah, I don't think Rodgers will play, so this could be a big game for him to do that.
Yeah. Brian writes in, I know we only look toward the next game here in Patriots Nation, but do you think after these huge games against really good opponents we are going to crash – in the last couple of weeks, not lose the game so much as lose our edge against 2 subpar teams in a week off before the playoffs? We are peaking at the right time, but will we only play up to our competitors in the last couple of games? Could be all 3 with all the injuries with Green Bay. So he's worried about a letdown here. What do you guys think?
I would just caution one thing. Well, two things, actually. First, both of those last two opponents are AFC East teams, so those games are generally pretty hard-fought physical games. Second, Miami specifically is one game behind Green Bay, and they went to Lambeau Field and beat Green Bay. So if you're thinking Green Bay's a tough game, then you should think Miami's a tough game, too.
Plus, the Bills
play not really much different.
The Bills have been in dogfights all year long. They clearly have shown they're not going to lay down and quit.
You can make the argument that 7-6 Miami in the AFC is more impressive than 8-5 Green Bay in the NFC, because I still don't think the NFC is anywhere near as good as the AFC is.
Antonio writes in.
We got Brad on the Eastern Shore, by the way, on the phone. I was told as I walked through the producer's office because you're not on Google chat.
Why aren't whatever.
I don't know. You didn't do it.
Because
he was too busy effing up the ratings in there.
Okay. Well, hold on one second, Brad. I just want to get to this one other email because I started it. Antonio says, my question is, what has changed and how has Belichick convinced the entire team and organization to own up to 60 minutes of football? The games prior to Cleveland versus the games post-Cleveland are distinctly different, where the Patriots are fired up out of the dressing room and hitting the second half harder than the first in pounding their opponents. Prior to this, it seemed like the Pats were posting up good points prior to the half and then trying to hold on for dear life. What has transpired in the halftime locker room?
I have no idea.
You're not even going to ponder to guess?
Well, I think when you're winning, it's easy to say we're finishing games and it's 60 minutes of football and I'm blowing people out.
And I think it was actually 60 minutes of football to me, like Vince Wilfork said after the game, the last two games. I mean, Pittsburgh, I thought it was kind of plastic yardage that Pittsburgh put up, but for them, that's not finishing the way they want to finish, allowing 20-whatever points in the fourth quarter. Detroit, they didn't play the first 30 minutes very well.
I just think it's easy when you blow somebody out to say, we played 60 minutes of football today. Well, yeah, you blew them out.
I mean, Indianapolis, they were holding on for dear life at the end of the game and came up with a big play.
But I think they played 60 minutes.
The last two games... But they played at a high level
people,
for 60 minutes
me,
the last two games.
Equate playing 60 minutes with playing good,
well
great football.
Minutes.
It's a competition. It's
that's
two
what
teams
the players
doing
are
battle.
Talking about.
I think they're talking about effort. And to me, from afar, it's impossible to see the effort. Yeah, but you can finish and lose. I think they were trying against the Colts, and if he completes a touchdown pass, you lose. I don't think he didn't finish. I think
no,
you
but
didn't...
I'm saying I think the players are talking about playing well for full 60 minutes.
Yeah.
Not, I don't think they're questioning their own effort when they say, we got to play 60 minutes.
I think there was a question of effort and...
Really?
And, yeah.
Focus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't think it was just
that's
winning
I,
the battle at the end of the game.
Then
I
missed
think it
the
was
major story then because...
Banging.
I don't
know,
look
being there. And I think it's easy to say, ooh, we played 60 minutes on Sunday. Well, yeah, because the game was over in the first half. In the second quarter, when you scored 20-whatever points, it was over. So it's easy to finish and blow people out. I think you can play 60-minute games and lose, and lose at the end or whatever. So I think that's hard to quantify and put a finger on.
On the phone now, Brad from the Eastern Shore. Hey, Brad.
Hey, happy holidays, guys, whatever holiday Eric professes.
What's so damn happy about? Ratings are down 24%. Haven't you heard?
You know what? You can throw those out the window, guys. I have never... ever seen anywhere where I'm supposed to say whether or not I listen to PFW. And I've listened to you guys going on 5 years now. So I think you got a lot of people like me that they're not into hitting ratings buttons. If you guys actually watch the posts that Fred gets, and I know, Fred, you're probably getting 50 for every 3 that you post.
Oh, yeah, easily.
The Patriots group that's following you guys is phenomenal. And, you know, it used to be about the same 3 or 4 callers. Now you got callers from all over the world calling in. You've got emailers calling in, you know, writing in from all over the world. Fred's blitzed every Sunday on the – well, he's blitzed anyway, but he's
– Well done.
he's blitzkrieged with the posts. Somebody even sent him a post Sunday that said, you know, Fred, is this disturbing? Does this keep you from watching the game? And I know I wrote in, Fred, and you didn't post it. Duh!
It is distracting, but it's good. I like doing it.
But, no, I didn't get to call in last week because I was away from work for a few days, so wasn't near my computer. But great, great win against the Jets. And, you know, I think I've got that last email all figured out, guys. For the last 2 weeks, Paul has given the nod about 4 minutes into the game The Patriots look up, they see Paul nod, and they're going, ah, crap, we got this one in the bag. And then they just play lights out for the rest, you know, the other 54 minutes.
That's the power of Paul.
That's right. I think Paul just needs to realize that. He needs to harness that power and use it for good.
Well, he is. I mean, it's all good if the Patriots win.
You know, he didn't nod at all in the Indy game. And look, we almost lost the stinking game.
Nice job, Paul.
So, you know, if Paul can understand the power he has, I think we'll be all right. But, it is cool because I watched all the years when we had no-name Patriots that weren't making plays. And, you know, I don't know who that Moore guy is, but he played well Sunday, and that's all that mattered.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can get some other guy, if Cunningham this week can come up with two strip sacks, we'll all be saying, geez, where's he been all season? But you know what? Won't matter because he played well on Sunday.
Kyle Arrington, Dane Fletcher, Myron Pryor, Kyle Love. It's endless, the list of guys that are playing defense for this team.
It is. And the offense has been so, this isn't a real word, but nucleified. They are one unit and one unit only. And it is phenomenal to watch them. They're just surgical in the precision they've got going right now.
Yeah. I don't know if they're as good as the 07. That was the whole topic post-game. And, you know, I thought Brady had interesting comments about back then it was about getting as many yards as we could. And I found that very strange comment from him. But I think they are every bit as difficult to defend right now because they are just, you're right. What was the word? Nucleified?
Well,
they're all on the same page. When Brady sees Branch, they know what they want to do, and they do it.
And I think the tight ends have a lot to do with that, too. I mean, you know.
And I'm not even saying this offense can maintain it. I'm saying right now, he and them, or they, are in the zone.
And it would be neat. It would be neat to know, I mean, as a fan, as a lifelong fan, you know, it would just be so awesome to sit in a meeting, a QB and wide receiver meeting with these guys, and just see exactly how on they are when they review the film. And they're like, good job, Dion. You were right where you needed to be. That was the exact yard marker, perfect route, way to go, Gronk. You got open. You drew that guy in there just the way we needed you to draw him in, and I was able to hit Branch on the sideline. You know, all that kind of stuff the fans never get to see.
That would be fascinating.
But because
just
to me,
just let us in on one of them.
Right,
that'd be great.
They're not doing anything wrong on offense right now. I mean, you know, I know Brady even included Seabass as he's really making a name for himself. And at the beginning of the year, Paul and I were going back and forth as to, you know, is Vollmer really going to be the answer over there at right tackle?
No, it's good. All right, Brad, I appreciate you calling. So, Brad's listening. He's one of the guys
that's
listening.
Right. All keep right. it up, guys. Great job.
Thanks, Brad, from the Eastern Shore out there in Maryland. Bill from Mississippi writes in, says, love the show, and thanks, Fred, for the in-game blog. It's always very entertaining. I'm concerned about the McCourty rib injury, and as always, I don't expect to hear anything about it. Anyway, to the point. Am I nuts that the only team that I truly fear for the playoffs is a team that might not make it? The San Diego Chargers have everything that it takes to beat us when they play their A game. I seriously don't fear any other team other than them. Am I just crazy? Thanks, guys, as always, and keep up the great work. One more thing, Fred. You said you had a funny story about Brady's picture that shows up on CBS. Please elaborate. I think I did on a show. He was there.
They weren't listening.
Yeah. Every year they have the headshots, and they come down, and the photographer sets up, and when they can, they come in one at a time. And Brady came in, and they tried like hell to get him to look good, and he kept, like, pushing his hair back. And finally he just said to the photographer, I hate my hair. That's what Brady said.
So cut it off.
And they just decided to go with an old picture because he just couldn't get it to look right. So that was
because it's not natural.
What was I saying before that? What was the emailer talking about?
He asked about Brady's hair.
No, but before that.
Brad and Eastern Shore.
No, all right, never mind. Let's see. Warren in London says they showed on CBS
up, lad.
That there were two different types of balls in the game, one for the Bears and one for the Patriots. This is common. Also, why would they not just make both teams use the same ball?
They provide their own kicking balls.
Yeah, they showed.
They did something because we got an ask PFW about that.
Yeah.
They don't provide their own balls in the NFL, do they?
The kickers do.
Oh, they have the K ball.
Yeah.
It's a different ball, but it's provided by the NFL.
But it's the NFL that puts the ball in play.
No, each team has a Patriots K-ball and a Bears K-ball, I believe.
because I've news seen kickers talk about what they like to do to it on the sidelines and stuff to get it ready. The way they squish it and break it in.
I just thought that they did that with the balls that the NFL provides. I didn't know there was a ball you could bring to the game and give it to them.
Really?
I didn't. No, I'm with you, Fred.
I believe there are
aware of that.
Each
but
team
evidently
has its K-balls.
They talked about this on the game, that Brady's ball was more worn, like roughed up a little bit than the one that Cutler used was a new, you know, slick one. But I just thought they were all from the same.
Now, I didn't know that the offense and defense could bring their own ball on the field. I thought it was just for kicking, but maybe it's for when you're on offense, you can pick your own ball, too.
No, I have to get clarification. I know I did look up on the screen, and at one point CBS was showing two balls. One that said Patriots, and the other that said Bears.
Yes, I saw that, but didn't have any idea what the context was. Or
well, maybe somebody who was watching can tell us.
Okay.
Tony says, please, you got everyone all worried now, Andy.
I got me worried.
She says, please.
Heading into a lockout, our ratings are down 23%.
Please do not consider giving up these shows on web radio. I live in Maine and can only listen to the Pat stuff and Boston stations on Patriots.com radio.
So maybe if you stopped listening to the Boston stations.
We're not considering giving these up.
We're just crying about low ratings.
And let's see. Peter says, add me to the PFW in Progress listener map. Eric is my favorite, but
what?
Only because I feel sorry for him having only three other votes. I am Peter, based in China.
Figures it's Peter that likes Eric, because he likes Peter.
Oh, see now? That's just not right.
But yes, I urge everyone, the few of you that are still listening, to go to pfwinprogress.com. It's a great website for people who enjoy this show. There's chat rooms, there's a listener map, there's a bio coming soon for me, even though it's been up there saying coming soon for about 8 years. It's a great website, and it's done by true, true Patriots fans. Go support it. Buy a T-shirt while you're there, too.
Let's see. Janine says, I listen to you guys every week. Ratings, schmatings, you guys rock, and I couldn't imagine being a fan without receiving valuable information from you every week. You guys are very funny. Keep up the good shows.
Well, thank you.
So they're out there, Andy.
Just not as many of them as there was last month.
There's sure a lot of them emailing in, because you really have them going. David Northpark says, I'm on the road for business in November, December every year, so the shows that I catch during that time drops. Anyway, I watched the Pats game at a sports bar in San Diego this week and found myself laughing in disbelief, so much so people kept looking at me as though I was crazy. It was, you know, Gary Guyton scoring two touchdowns. It was pretty amazing. You know, again, once again, the slot machine is just, the coins just keep coming. You know, we've won the game, but it just, you know, we're just getting richer and richer. So it's amazing.
Wow, what do we do to get knocked off a pedestal? And I don't mean it's necessarily coming, but it's amazing how people, what was Cleveland? How many weeks ago?
Five weeks ago. They've won.
And it was, what was the email you got, Fred? Oh, great. Now they're
now
on a three-game losing streak.
Now we're on a three-game losing streak.
Now we are. The rich get richer. We've won the games, and we just continue to reel it in. And we're a little high on the roller coaster
Nick
right
from
now.
Vermont says, did my eyes deceive me, or was the game against the Bears a lot closer than the score indicated? It seemed Brady was lucky not to have at least two of his tip passes intercepted, and I'm guessing that the Bears' lack of pressure was due to the poor field conditions. The Knox fumble return for a touchdown was also very lucky, not being ruled down because the receiver landed on the corner's foot. And once the Bears got behind, Cutler seemed to revert to his old style of trying to force his throws through coverage, resulting in multiple interceptions. Would it be unwise to think the Bears could beat them soundly on a day when the weather is not a factor?
Soundly?
Yeah.
Yes, that would be unwise.
That's
crazy.
I think it would be a lot closer.
I think
but
if this was 1992... and the Patriots won the game the way they won it on Sunday, then that would be a very valid email. Based on the way the Patriots normally play, those would all be lucky plays. But in 2010, after a decade of that kind of play from the Patriots, particularly in that kind of weather, I have a hard time saying that they were lucky.
But I agree with
game.
His facts.
All the facts are there.
Brady had chances to throw interceptions.
All the, and
I thought the pass rush at times was negated because of the footing.
He left out a touchdown for Chicago that was ruled an incomplete pass that was a hair away from being a touchdown, right? I mean, there's a lot of the game was closer than the score indicated early, and then the Patriots did what the Patriots do, is they take advantage and they blister you.
Paul says, let's not get overconfident. As much as I like to see them there, I'm not ready to put the Patriots in the Super Bowl yet. I don't know if the Patriots eased up in the second half offensively, but didn't Chicago beat us 7-3 in the second half? I think it's too early to put the Patriots in the AFC Championship, let alone the Super Bowl. So,
I actually had a little family meeting last night.
Yeah?
Yeah, discussing.
What if?
Not what if. What are we going to do? And what are our plans for Dallas? I asked my father if he was interested in going. Talked to my wife about childcare issues and whatnot. Yeah, I don't really see. I mean, I just the way when they get going like this, and Andy and I talked about this a little bit. You show up and you're expecting it to be a two-score game halfway through the first quarter. That's what you're expecting. That's the role that they're on right now.
Well, I think it's
can it
the
stop?
Easiest way to say it is I'll be picking them to win, but sure they can lose.
Of course they can. That doesn't mean they can't lose. See, that's the thing is people think, well, it can't happen. That's the point that I was trying to make about, you know, the San Diegos and the Indies of the world and Baltimore's. They all lost, but they all felt like they could have won the game. You know, they all lost by a field goal, right? I mean, they all felt like they could have won the game. And I wouldn't just put it as a lock that the Patriots are going to win, but right now, if you're asking me what I think the Patriots are the best team, and they're playing the best, and I would be very surprised to not see them in Dallas.
I got a quick question. What is this crap ESPN is doing with the year of the quarterback?
I don't know.
We got like a press release. I just saw a graphic. It starts tonight, kickoff special. What are you talking about?
No idea.
I mean, it's not even like I could see if Breeze and Manning and Brady and they were all having these ridiculous years, but they're not. I mean, they're having good years, but
maybe it's just run versus pass. It's such a, you know, maybe the passing numbers in terms of attempts are higher than ever.
I don't care for it.
Robin in Alaska says
it really is very deceptive too, because of the way they throw the ball now.
Right.
About the balls. A few years ago, says Robin in Alaska, Brady, Manning, and Favre headed up a revolt against the NFL rule machine and convinced those in power that it'd be better for offenses if they got to play with their own balls. And so to this day, each quarterback polishes or roughs up his balls depending on his preference. Kickers can also choose what balls they wish to
balls
kick.
Balls feel good.
However, defenses just have to play with whatever balls the opposing quarterback chooses. I don't know.
I don't even actually think he was trying to be funny there.
All right, it's 104. We need to take our 104 break. We'll be right back.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only. Equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios services available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pabs! I
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
All right, back here in PFW Progress, 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. I want to get to the Ace Ticket Hotline in 1 second, but Strippers gives us the ball rule. And
why am I not surprised?
He says it is the home.
Are you just going to laugh every time someone says ball today?
The word ball is funny.
It is the home team's responsibility to have 36 footballs, 24 for indoor games, ready to be checked by the head referee with a pressure gauge 2 hours prior to the game. Those balls must meet the NFL requirements or they will not be used. Also, 12 new footballs sealed in a special box and shipped by the manufacturer will be opened in the official's locker room 2 hours prior to the starting time of the game. These balls are to be specially marked with the letter K and used especially in the kicking game.
Jumping, still competing to get their hands on balls.
So there you go.
And
so
right now, I'm intrigued by that competition.
So now I'm even more confused. So
when do
so
they give them to the
use
team?
Your own football.
No, man. You can't. You can't use your
so
own
So what
football.
Was the whole thing with the Bears and the Patriots on Sunday?
Maybe they're allowed to scuff them up or something?
Well, that's my point. When are they given to the teams to, if they are allowed to do
they
something,
might,
what
they
can
might
they do?
They might have like 38 minutes before the game they're allowed to start
using
them. Did
you say 38 them. Minutes?
30 minutes.
Oh.
I thought you said 38, too.
I might have just burped in the middle of it.
That could be.
All right. On the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482 is Christian. Chris with a T-I-A-N. Hey, Christian.
Hey, what's up?
Nothing. How you doing?
Okay. How you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Except for the ratings.
So, yeah, the ratings are fine. Stats are for losers. Cut it out.
Stats are for losers, and we're losers right now because we're losing
you're
in the stat game.
Losers. But they were calculated wrong. There's no way you had as many shows in October as you did in November, so he's got to do the recount.
Yeah, let's blame Kevin. You're right. Let's stick with that.
Well, might as well.
Well, actually,
I know I'm listening. I don't miss a show.
I just
looked appreciate
it,
Chris.
I just looked it up, and there were two shows that appear twice in the log, so I think in theory we had 10.
Aha!
There you go.
Well, that would dramatically change our numbers.
I don't know what happened, but it was uploaded on the day of the show and then uploaded again the next day. So, like, that obviously can't happen because we wouldn't do two different shows in the span
Thank
of
God
one day.
Thank God we can get Andy off the ledge.
Ratings are up. We're flying high.
So we had 10 shows.
Can you imagine if my job really relied on ratings, how I would be a nervous wreck?
I knew that had to be the case.
We've lost the fat man and we're running lean.
Yeah, I knew that had to be the case. See, everything's all right, Andy.
Okay.
All right, Christian, what do you got for us?
Well, I wanted to touch upon a couple of things. The first thing was with the footballs. They showed a graphic on TV between the ball that, you know, Brady threw and the balls that Cutler was throwing. And Brady's were like, you know, you could tell they were scuffed up, they were weathered, and Cutlers look like they'd just been taken out of the box, like you just bought it out of the store, pretty much. And that's what they were talking about.
But what did they say?
Just stupid.
Right. Are we trying or are we cheating? Because it seems like it's smart.
Well, because when it was a blowout and they had nothing to talk about, you know, they started to talk about how the Patriots do all the little things right.
But why wouldn't the Bears do it? It's not that little. If you're allowed to scuff the ball and make it have better grip, why wouldn't you do it?
So they were saying they do all the little things right, and they were claiming one of those things was mocking up the ball?
Yeah. Getting the ball rough so it's not slick.
But if you can do it, then anybody could do it.
Right.
So that means that's the way that Cutler wants it.
Yet, well, I just think it proves my point again that the Patriots are competing against nobody. They're the only team that really knows what
the hell
they're
doing. But how do you know he doesn't want to throw a scuffed ball?
I don't know. That's
no. It's going to be slick in the cold weather and damp like that. You want that extra grip of the raw leather, not the slick fine leather. Why would you not want the grip?
That's what I would want, but I don't know what Cutler would want.
honestly.
And if he has the opportunity to do whatever he wants with the football, which I don't believe, by the way.
So now you're saying the Patriots are cheating.
No, I don't believe they did that. I believe that it was something different altogether. I think this was something taken out of context.
Maybe,
personally.
Yeah, like I said, they just showed the graphics.
Especially based on the thing that strippers just talked about.
Yeah, I mean. So
which sounded like it was awfully official coming from some sort of manual. No, like a book, a rule book or
like
something.
A rule book.
No, but
don't you think that sounded kind of official the way strippers describe
it? Yeah,
it
did. Yeah, but that's why
I think
asked
you're allowed to do whatever you want with a football.
If you get that, when do you get them? Do
right.
you get them an hour before the game? These are the balls, but you can do what, you know.
Are you allowed to spend some time alone with the balls?
Sure. Because you got to give some attention.
Now
some
we find out the ratings
the
are okay, and we can go back to our normal.
Idiots.
We'll return to your normally scheduled program.
Maybe the ratings
already
in we
progress.
Weren't enough idiots.
Right. Maybe we weren't being dirty enough.
Right.
I'm pretty sure last month I was pretty dirty.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure you were too.
All right, Christian.
So, Christian, do you pencil him into the Super Bowl? Is that where we're at?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the Bears and the Jets, you know, I heard a guy this morning on the radio say, well, I didn't really believe in the Jets and I didn't really believe in the Bears. So, you know, I don't really, you know, the Patriots, are they better than everybody else right now. Yeah, but, you know, not really. You know, one of those was some idiot. But,
a lot
yeah,
of Patriots
I mean,
fans do that, though. They were doing it right away after the game. You know, the Jets were frauds. I told you the Jets were frauds. Why do you diminish what we did? We just beat them 45-3 in the biggest game of the year, and the first thing out of anybody's mouth is, I told you the Jets were frauds. Why doesn't it? I told you the Patriots were dominant.
Yeah, they were dominant. They've been dominant. And if you would have told me, and I think if we would have told you guys in August that we would be 11-2 now and have a shot at the first round bye, I mean, I probably could have thought of five teams that would have been ahead of us for that.
Yep.
I mean, now it's just, you know, yeah, I mean, I'd be disappointed if we didn't get to the Super Bowl, absolutely. I mean, especially if we get that first round bye and we get home field throughout. I mean, how can you not be here, you know, at home, Brady, Belichick? I mean, the
okay.
only thing – go ahead.
Let me see if you guys agree with me. There's a differentiation between being disappointed that they didn't win the Super Bowl and a disappointing season.
Sure.
Well, and this isn't a disappointing season.
I agree.
They've already exceeded my expectations.
Right. I had him at 6-10, so.
Yeah.
I had him at 10-6. I officially got eliminated on Sunday.
Obviously, when you're playing as well as they are now, and once you get in the playoffs, you're disappointed when you lose. But I don't think if that happens and they lose in the playoffs, you could say, oh, this was a disappointing season.
Well, it depends how it happens and what unfolds.
Well, I mean, by that, so like 2007 wasn't a disappointing season either.
Then. No, it wasn't.
But. I mean
if they come out in the playoffs.
That's going to go down as one of the most bitter memories in the history
absolutely.
Of Patriots
if fans. If they come out in the playoffs and score 35 points and they're in a dogfight, though, and the defense just can't hang on, it's the Indy game, and Manning scores that touchdown in the postseason, then I think you say, it's a disappointment, but it was a great year. We knew it might not last, but it was a great
year. Couldn't agree with you
more. Now, if they come out and Brady throws
if
five
they lose
picks.
10-7 and they turn the ball over five times after turning it over nine all
then
year.
Then you're pissed.
Now I'm pissed. There's
yeah,
a big difference.
They're
going to set an NFL record for fewest turnovers in a season. If they go out in the first playoff game and turn it over five times and that's why they lose, you're going to throw up in your mouth.
Can you imagine if Moss wasn't on the team the whole year, they wouldn't have had any turnovers.
You could barely say what you were trying to say.
No, I will give you a real imagine. One of those turnovers was a Hail Mary on the last play of the game against Baltimore. When they could have gone for the field goal, the long field goal.
Right.
And he just threw it up into the end zone. That got picked off. That's one of the turnovers.
And one of them.
When you only have nine, I mean.
Right?
And one is Hoyer's, right? Doesn't Hoyer have a
pick? Hoyer has a pick when Julian Edelman did what?
Got raped or whatever you had you put it. Had
his manhood. Lost his manhood at midfield.
I mean, if you start removing the ridiculous ones.
I love the way he goes into the voice at midfield. I mean, seriously, it's one thing if you have 28 turnovers and you go, yeah, two of those were this. They have nine turnovers and two of them were really irrelevant.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Absolutely irrelevant plays.
And I just wanted to say one more thing. You know, like you guys said, Brady could have had, he probably could have had like three interceptions on Sunday.
Oh, easily.
But when you're good.
That's
right. When you're playing good, usually those things go your way.
Yep.
And when you're bad, you guys, we've seen it 100 times.
The thing that you can point to on Sunday is the tip in the end zone.
Oh, yeah.
And the next play, Gronkowski touchdown.
Touchdown.
And then two possessions later. As the emailer pointed out, McCourty is pulling down Knox. He's down, but he's on top of McCourty's foot.
Right.
Yep. It was incredible.
So that's when the ball comes out.
That's David Patton unconscious with his shoulder touching the helmet touching the sideline. All right, Christian.
All right, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ratings are up now.
Brooklyn Matt writes
Andy's got a little jump in his step. Thank you for the fans. I just want to have a special thank you because Andy was starting to get down. I was, like, tuning out the show for a while there. Yeah. All he was talking about was the ratings.
That's right. A big drop, Paul.
And I want to thank the fans for snapping Andy out of it a little bit. They gave you a little bit of a boost.
They fixed Kevin's mistake.
Brooklyn Matt writes in, hey, Doc and Kevin, I have an idea for an in-game video board tradition for the Pats home games at Gillette.
I like it. Then.
You could do some big production featuring the Paul nod. During each game, when Perillo gives the nod, you could show it up on the video screens.
Andy doesn't like the
you
nod.
You could post a big, huge video of Paul's head nodding with fireworks and explosions in the background.
That's not a good angle
the
for Paul,
the crowd
though.
Would go wild. A lot of pressure on Paul, but he can take it.
As he nods his head, that puts his bald spot dead center on the big board.
But I know this is a joke, but can you imagine if we really try to do something with this, what Bill Belichick would do to
oh
me?
Oh, my God.
He already hates us. Can you imagine?
Well, he hates Eric. He dislikes us.
But seriously, think about this for a second. I gave the nod on Sunday when the other team had the ball and we had a 7-0 lead.
And they had just
converted a third and 14.
Right.
You'd be like the guy at the Celtics that they play
Gino.
With.
Gino.
You'd be but you could do it in the first quarter, and you'd see Brandon Merriweather, oh, the game's over. I'm just going to call it a day
Bill was running an offense with vigor in the middle of the fourth quarter on Sunday with a 36-7 lead because, quote, you play the game out. Until there is fewer possessions left than they need, you keep playing. I give the nod in one-score games in the first quarter.
Right.
He would ban me from the press box forever.
Yeah. But that would be funny.
Not just the press
box. You see Paul's big face on the video board, and he nods. And
why is his face big?
And the fans just...
Yeah, it's not Andy.
Because it's on a 1,000-foot-long board. That's why.
Yeah, but your head's
biggest
still
outdoor
fit.
Boards in the NFL, Freddie.
But he does the nod, and
Dallas,
the fans
and whatever
go crazy.
The other rulings were.
That would be a great tradition.
And we don't use it all for video.
That would be funny. That would be funny. The Paul nod.
I think that'd be a great idea. Andy doesn't like it because it's not him. Yeah, it's all about Andy.
Actually, it might be good to just do after every touchdown.
That's a good point, Paul.
It's all about
but
Andy.
But you'd have to give it.
You should have seen our counterpoint that we filmed today.
Like, they were mad at you because you didn't
I'll
give
it
against
Thursday.
The Colts.
You know, and Rook could just yell
wait
out,
a minute.
Paul just nodded, and the fans go,
but
no,
you have to give it.
The game I didn't
we
give
could
it
blow
was
the foghorn while he's nodding.
Right.
The Thanksgiving game I didn't give it because it was a tooth and nail
did you steal that horn from the Bruins?
What's that?
I didn't steal anything.
When I say you, I meant you guys. I mean the stadium.
I
no people
comment.
Saying it's just the Bruins horn. Everybody thinks, goal!
Woo!
So we I just hate stole that thing.
I love
the Bruins didn't start it either. They got it from Chicago,
no, but someone's telling me it's
Chicago,
like it's
right?
like the exact same.
I think it is.
Can't you do different?
I don't think it's the same horn that Chicago has. I mean, it's the same
theory.
But you can have different lengths
and spacing. That Chicago one seems
and,
much yeah. lower and longer.
I think ours is the same as the Bruins.
How are you going to make that one
give you
dirty?
That.
Andy made it dirty. So,
lower
and longer.
I mean, he makes it. How's that dirty?
I guess if you're with a little person. Scott, who was a Huntington Beach transplant, or implant for Andy's sake, if Schottenheimer gets fired, I think we might see Josh McDaniels back in the AFC East. Thoughts?
Oh, Schottenheimer's going to get fired? Is there talk of that?
Brian Schottenheimer?
I think he stinks.
I would have fired him long ago, but why are we connecting Josh McDaniels with Rex Ryan?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because Josh didn't burn the bridge yet. He wants to really burn
it. I'm not ruling it out, but is there something I don't know about?
He might be as good a quarterback's coach as he is an offensive coordinator, and God knows Sanchez could use some help.
He does. I mean,
no, but would Josh go there?
Yeah.
I don't know.
On paper, that's a marriage that would seem to make a lot of sense, but would he go there?
I mean,
yeah, I don't know.
Are the Jets interested in getting him?
I mean, at this point,
if the bridge
a job is
still standing,
a job, you know?
He's not.
See, you guys think he's a shoo-in to get another job next
I think
year.
He'll get another
I don't.
Job. I do.
I think he might have to take a year off.
I don't.
Well, okay.
That's hard for those guys to take a year off. You don't just go to ESPN if you're Josh McDaniels. They don't want you.
Also, to hell with the ratings. You guys are clearly the best and just need more exposure. I tried listening to that Felger guy. I tried.
What a douche.
What's today? Oh, no. Today's Tuesday, right? All right, tomorrow.
I kind of like Felger. Everybody doesn't. You know, but
you have to check to see what he's saying. You just can't listen. It's nauseating. It's so repetitive.
Okay.
He just hammers home the same damn point for weeks and days and months at a time.
That 800 number, I forgot it. I'm sorry.
A lot of people writing in about balls. Hey, guys, and
give
Eric.
Me a break.
Paul, you're correct. Sims and Nance said that Cutler preferred the balls right out of the box. He felt the grip was better that way compared to Brady, who thought the grip was better with it being a little bit more roughed up. I didn't hear about the rules for how the teams have to take care of their balls. Yes, I am I am saying balls on purpose, Andy.
And yes, Fred is burping in the middle of reading it.
So Brady likes it rough.
But that was the only point I was making. If you could do it, I don't think that's like a little thing that the Patriots think of every detail, if you can do it.
Yeah, I just, I'm going
to question doesn't make any sense
Jay Cutler's preference.
No, a lot of people saying the same thing.
Now that's funny.
Phil Simms said Cutler doesn't like to rub up his balls. He prefers.
Paul, can we talk football here? Not everything
no,
is so.
He prefers them slick.
You just said his preference, and now we're talking about this.
Why would you prefer slick balls?
Listen, I would. I'm
with you, Andy.
I wouldn't prefer Favre
obviously prefers the slick ball.
Unless you think they're better, more aerodynamic. I don't know.
Ball
but it's about
good.
Grip on a day like that.
Right.
But on a perfectly normal day, okay, you like the brand new slick ball. But to me, in the weather, I'm no scientist, but I find it hard to believe you don't gain some advantage by scuffing and roughing up the leather.
I'm agreeing with you what my preference would be. I just don't know how you can tell someone else how they prefer the football.
Well, it's another example of why he's an idiot.
Can't tell
that's
Paul.
My point.
You can't tell Paul what he likes when it comes to balls.
Right.
I like my ball roughed up.
He's felt a lot of balls in his day.
Like,
and he likes a certain ball.
I do. I like a roughed up ball.
So do I.
But Jay Cutler obviously doesn't.
Eric says,
I thought you had the man groomer.
I do. I don't go down there.
Along with the nut wizard.
No, you don't Manscape?
No, not down there. That's a little bit too familiar down there, I tell you.
Familiar?
Eric writes in, all teams get 15 minutes of supervised scuffing before the game, whether they choose to
or
not.
Is that real? You get supervised time with the balls?
I guess so.
So if that's
the case, a conjugal visit.
Yeah.
It's not like Jay Cutler says, oh, I'm not going to bother doing that. I'm not going to pay attention to detail.
So he's an idiot. He doesn't like it that way.
A moron.
Freddie, we have a ball expert on the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Eric? Why don't we go
on the show today?
Why don't we go to the Ace Ticket Hotline where James from Iowa is. Jay, James.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
What I went back and checked out on TiVo is I went back since you guys were talking about that subject and checked it out. They do get 15 minutes before the game to do what they want to do supervised, but they said Cutler prefers to have the ball that way and didn't want to have a head game on making a decision on whether it should be scuffed up or not.
Hmm. That's interesting. I find it hard to believe that a smooth new ball is better than a scuffed ball in the wet, snowy conditions.
I'm 1,000% on board with you on that. I don't understand why you wouldn't want it like that, but I think it's strange that Nansen
did
Sims,
he have a glove on?
Here's what I will say, and maybe it's just for this game. Once you break sort of the cover of the ball and scuff it up, it may absorb moisture more. So it might be better to keep it smooth so it doesn't absorb that moisture and become heavy. Maybe he's thinking
but
that.
I agree. Maybe it could get heavier, but I still think you'd have a better grip.
Yeah,
on the rough ball.
No doubt.
I just find it strange that Nansen Sims would point to that as this is another example of where the Patriots' attention to detail. I don't think this was like dropping the ball on detail
no,
for
it's
Chicago.
Intelligence. It's not.
It's his preference. He doesn't like it that way, so he wants it this way. I don't understand why that's like not paying attention to detail.
No, it's not. It's just stupidity.
Again, it's the way he wants it.
But he's wrong. Although it was Brady that was throwing the ball most often to the other team early.
James, you still there?
Yeah, I just wanted to tell you, I don't care what the ratings say. You guys are awesome.
I agree.
And here in Iowa, we got 10 people on the line at my welding company out here, and we've listened to you guys all week. Thank you for the entertainment and keep it up.
You see, that's
really?
Only
awesome.
One. That's yep. only one right
we
there.
We have 10 people in the same
people.
Welding company?
That's right.
That's
I'm
awesome.
I'm the line foreman, and we listen to it. I make them listen to it.
He's the head honcho.
Well, what's your company? We'll give it a plug.
Wilson Trailer Company, biggest trailer company in the worldwide.
Wilson Trailer in Iowa.
What kind of trailers?
We build cattle trailers, hauling trailers, any kind of trailers you think of for semi-trailers.
Wilson Trailers?
You got a website?
www.wilsontrailer.com.
There you go. Okay. Best trailers in the
you
world.
You know who needs a trailer?
Thanks, James.
James
Thanks,
Pettigrew. Guys. He's got to haul all those asses around. He needs a trailer
well,
for
there
him.
There you go.
James
right.
Pettigrew, Wilson Trailers, when you need to buy a couple trailers for your, what does he call that place? Orphanage for asses?
Yeah, something like that.
Ass orphanage?
Yeah.
I'm Paul Perillo, and for all my welding needs, I go to Wilson Trailer. You can get us at wilsontrailer.com.
I used to know how to
weld. We should do reads.
You know? I just did.
You didn't read anything.
Kevin.
Well, there was no paper.
Kevin's on the phone.
If I tried to read it, it wouldn't come out well.
But wait, that's amazing. To me, that's way more amazing than big numbers. There's 10 welders in some shop in Iowa.
That tells you right there that we're out
what
of
do you
this.
Want, Freddie?
I was just thinking,
don't look right
our
into
advertisers,
it,
you know how
blind
we get a lot of listeners that complain that we play the same commercials
welding?
Over and over again?
Yeah.
They
you
should
can't
give
right
us on-air reads.
There you go.
You know, because I think
if
we're endorsing the product, it might have more credibility.
That's a great catch by Andre Johnson last night, by the way.
That's true.
So
you want to have them write into web radio?
No. Just tell the marketing people that, you know, we'll do on-air reads.
Okay.
For free?
No.
Aren't I supposed to get like $50 a read or something?
No, you get a...
get a free trailer.
You get a free Hasek from Bob's
Furniture. I could use
Furniture.
A trailer, actually.
What?
I could use a trailer.
The deal with the
what
real
do you need
reads
a trailer
is...
for?
Stuff.
You can't do a read legally without, like, actually using the product. Like, Zoe does his post-woodworking.
That's why I need them to send me a trailer.
Zoe gets, like, this shed dropped off in the back of his, you know.
Oh, I need another shed.
When Gary was, like, I'm a truck guy, he would get a GMC
truck.
And he's the furthest thing from a truck guy.
But
he's
saying,
got a new thing coming out, by
the
way. He's going on a test drive with one of those trucks. Gary Tangway, truck guy here, and he's going, it's like GMC or something.
Who's going to teach him how to drive it?
Speaking of trailers.
We're all over.
You know how I'm not a very good driver?
Yes.
I'm not a very good parker?
Yes.
I once tried to, like, back up with a trailer hitch. Oh, my God. That took forever.
It's hard.
It took forever.
It is hard. And my neighbor amazingly.
But once you get good at it.
Well, that's, my neighbor has a long, skinny laneway next to my house. It can't be more than 15 feet wide, and he has a lobster boat. And he goes backwards down that thing probably 25 miles an hour. And it's just amazing to watch. He doesn't even look back.
I don't know how they keep him straight. I really don't.
I don't either, but
did you ever
Fred's
try
right.
That?
Once, oh yeah. I jackknife my tractor for my lawn tractor has a trailer with it.
Right.
I can't back that thing up 10 feet without jackknifing it.
Right.
It's
and
ridiculous.
You gotta go the opposite way.
And I always look around and there's always someone watching, like a neighbor's out raking leaves or something. They see you acting like an a-hole.
Right.
You can't back up a little.
And you're
trailer.
Saying to yourself, there's a good game on. If you're out raking leaves,
get
go
inside. Stop making fun of me.
Let's see. Michelle from Panama City, Florida says, do you think there's a chance we don't have to play the Colts next year if they lose their division this year? If so, do you think you would miss the game? Thanks, by the way, for the 3 years in Indy and 3 years Foxborough tip. My father loves to argue, and he keeps arguing with me that the last 5 games were in Indy. I was able to prove him
your
wrong.
Your father is not alone.
Which always makes me smile.
Your father is not alone.
Yeah, that would be interesting. You know, for the first time in a long time, the Colts not winning that division.
Yeah, and if they don't, then the Patriots wouldn't play Indy next year.
Because we're not playing the AFC
Because the
AFC
Patriots
South.
Are just about ready to clinch the AFC East. And I think they only play Indy next year as one East, one – so we played the North this year. I believe we played the West next year, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, crap.
Sean reminds us if the Pats win Sunday and the Jets lose.
Yeah, 09 we played the South. 11 will play the
West Coast trip.
We'll play the West.
Well, what if they change everything up? Because
it's true.
CBA.
18 games.
Oh, it is. No, wait. Oh, if it's an 18-game season, you mean? Yeah, that could be. I think they'll add in wild card games, though. Not.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think your divisions will stay the same. That rotation
would probably
go crazy and just change all the alignment. Who knows?
Paul wants them to blow the whole damn thing up.
Well, I think in the playoffs,
what
I think.
What do I want to blow up?
I think it's.
Everything.
I think
no
it's
divisions,
good to consider
division winners,
you.
No seeding, no anything.
I think one of the things that they might consider is once you get in the playoffs, reseeding. Like you automatically make it if you win your division, but then once the playoffs start, everything gets reseeded by record.
Well,
you know, so
okay,
an
so
11
it's not
and 5
reseeding, you seed by record.
Yeah,
that's my plan.
Yeah, an 11 and 5 team that comes in second place, but is better than the AFC West top team. Gets a higher seed.
Yeah,
Mr. Kraft doesn't like that. He's on record supporting the value of a division title.
Yeah, except
no,
for...
No, but if you win your division, you're automatically in. You know? You automatically are in if you win your division, but you're not automatically a higher seed than a team that doesn't who has a better record.
No. He is on record, I believe, as of 07, when they were discussing this at meetings, on record saying he believes in the value of winning the division and a home playoff game and all that.
Yeah.
If I'm allowed to, I would say I disagree with that. I think you should be.
If I'm allowed to,
I think you should be able to. I think you should be seated. I don't. If you want to reward the division winner with a playoff spot, to me that's enough. If you're an 8-8 team and you win a division, and someone's 11-5 and doesn't make the playoffs, that's tough. But okay, I can see your logic of Andy's point, the value of winning your division.
Right.
But see, let's not make it easier for that inferior team to now. Cause another good team a better chance of losing. Like an 8-8 San Diego hosted 12-4 Indianapolis that year, and they ended up winning in overtime.
And I agree with you, but from an ownership standpoint, you're also thinking about revenue. So now I've won my division, but I don't get a home playoff game. That kind of stinks.
Well, how about the 12-4 team that doesn't get a home playoff team? Doesn't that kind of stink?
No, I know,
but why does it only hold true within the conference? Why wouldn't you make the exact same argument for the entire league?
I have no problem if you wanted to do the best 12 teams in football and seed them 1-12. I have
no
problem with that.
You could make the exact same argument.
But I'm not necessarily expecting a radical overhaul of the entire system. This, to me, is a slight tweak where you could say same teams that would have made the playoffs are going to make the playoffs. We're just going to change the venues of the games.
I don't like it.
If the situation calls for it.
Right.
I just think you should do whatever you can to ensure that the best teams in your league go to the Super Bowl.
But that's my point.
If there's
for
an
so
advantage
long,
to be given,
the best teams were in the AFC.
Right. Yeah. I don't want to make it unfair, but I think it should be the best team should have the best chance, and that means the best team should be playing at home against inferior teams, in theory.
Yeah.
And that's all. That's the only change that I would want to make.
You don't have that with the AFC-NFC divide.
I said if you want to change the whole thing and make it the best 12 teams, I have no problem with that. I just know that would never happen. They're going to keep the conferences the way they are.
But then there'll be that one year, Paul.
They want some intrigue there, a little bit of a difference in the play.
There'll be that one year, Paul, where the inferior team, meaning the team that had the worst record, actually was playing better at the end of the season. It just so happened they ended with a worse record, and then they'd be hurt in your scenario. So,
well, it's never going to be perfect. Yeah. It's
never
going to be individual.
But
they should be. I would rather have the team that's played well over the balance of the 16 games.
Yeah.
Not hurt by it.
Let's see. Sean says, if the Pats win Sunday and the Jets lose, do the Pats have the AFC East clinched? I'll be there Sunday in the snow going crazy. Is it supposed to snow Sunday?
I don't know.
Yes. If the Jets lose on Sunday, that's it.
That's a three-game lead.
Three-game lead with two
left.
Two left.
So they clinched the AFC East.
It's like the Ryder Cup or whatever.
3-2.
What?
Dormy? Isn't that, don't they have a name for that? Something like that?
I didn't know.
A lot of emails.
It wasn't about ratings, so Andy, you had it on the pay no mind list.
Sorry, Paul, that I care about our job and our performance and how we serve the fans with a product.
How does this affect our job, by the way?
Not at all.
Okay.
Which is the sad, sad, sad part.
Chase in Orlando says, this is to all the people who were predicting 9-7 after Moss trade and the first Jets game and are now predicting Super Bowl win or bust. Pats fans of all fans should know that aside from the NCAA tournament, the NFL players are the most risky of all playoff systems, especially this year. I love this team's attitude during the regular season that they have accomplished nothing yet and that they have energy during the game but don't get too high after regular season wins or losses. They have not secured the division or the top seed yet. Also, I want to say that since they have secured a playoff spot, even though they beat these teams during the season, I hope there's a way to avoid the Colts and especially the Ravens. In closing, big props to the offensive line. They have made two no-name running backs look good, and I don't think Brady has had to wash his uniform in about a month. Well, he's been sacked, and he's been sacked about seven times in the last
two games, hasn't he?
He's been sacked.
I don't know the number.
Maybe six times? I think you got sacked three times Sunday.
It's kind of how they've been. They've come in bunches over game spans and then go away and then come in bunches.
Right. Gene in Daytona says, what gave you the most pleasure watching the Patriots win or the Jets lose? Who will replace McCourty
Patriots
if he
win.
Can't go on Sunday? Maybe the Jets lose.
Darius Butler.
As far as TV, it will only work if unstructured televised. Let's see. As far as TV, it will only work if unstructured televised you guys having lunch and ad lib. What?
I think that's a comment on you saying you lost interest in our TV show. And maybe he's asking for this to be the TV show.
Okay.
It's not what he's looking
for.
Anyway,
his final thing, is says, one question, Fred. If it comes down to the last game, losing to Miami to knock the Jets out of the playoffs and let Miami in on the last game, I know Belichick would not consider it, but if you were a coach for a day, what would you do? That's an interesting. If it didn't change our seating at all,
Belichick will do what he thinks is in the best.
Yeah.
That's just
the
opposite.
Most definitely.
Precedent has already been established in that regard. He will do what he thinks is in the best interest of the team.
Right. So what would you do, Paul?
I don't know what he thinks
is
the
best. But what
would I rather play in a playoff game?
Yeah.
Miami.
Yeah.
I would much rather play Miami in a playoff game than the Jets.
Right.
Jets could blow you the bleep out.
But I don't know what Bill thinks.
I don't have the Dolphins don't have the I don't think they have the capability
but
of
Bill,
like dominating.
Matter of fact, Bill dumped a game against that very team.
Right.
because he didn't want to play Pittsburgh, and he'd rather play Jacksonville, which, by the way,
good call,
was a sound coaching decision.
26 of 28?
Yeah, I would.
That wasn't that game, but a similar blowout.
You know, it's interesting. Jets have lost, what, three games so far this year? Four?
Four.
Four.
They've scored nine or fewer points in all four losses.
And three of them have been at home, right?
That's correct. The only road loss they have is right here.
Right. That's something.
Luckily, they'll be on the road in the playoffs.
Home games in the playoffs.
Right. Let's see. Major Dave Perkins, who is in Iraq, U.S. Forces, says, while I don't have time to browse, I do make sure I listen to your live stream as often as possible. I look forward to the Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday shows. I, for one, would be unhappy if your show stopped airing. Thanks for all the work you do. You have a great team, and it's very enjoyable listening to your analysis.
Did you throw out there that we were going to stop doing the show?
I don't think so. I didn't mean to, but
you know, sometimes
when I get going, I say stuff.
I think what happened is we mixed up the ratings talk with PFW in Progress website. We said that James was thinking of getting rid of the website, which has nothing to do with this show other than that it's about this show.
And they're our pals.
Yeah. But if that website went away, it has nothing to do with our show. No, we're going to keep doing this show as long as they let us.
Yeah. But if ratings fall 24% every month, it won't last long.
When has this been about ratings?
Always, for me.
There's no such thing as ratings on this show.
Yes, there are. Every month, we know the number of people that listen. I'm a competitor. I'm like Tom Brady. If I want to do something, I want to do it well. I want people to like it. You'd have the same.
That's not what you were saying about Tom Brady in the offseason when he didn't care.
Well, he didn't care in the offseason. Apparently, he's one of the guys that can flick the switch in August, show up, and get the job done. Would you think the same of this show if you knew that every day 122 people were listening?
No.
Thank you.
I wouldn't.
For me personally?
After having been doing this since 2000?
Right.
No.
Exactly. You're showing no growth. You're not. Yeah. There's no value.
I don't treat the show any more seriously now than I did when there were only 122 people.
No, but we were growing. You feel good about it. You're contributing to a growth. I feel better about it now that I have a tangible proof that
a lot of people are listening.
Up until today.
No, just, just in case people are wondering, we average, and these are real numbers, about 70,000 people per show.
We used to.
Most of them download.
Actually, it was 80, and we used to.
Yeah, but that's pretty remarkable,
I think. So you know, we were averaging more listeners than regular terrestrial radio locally here in Boston. There was a second channel, remember the old 890 ESPN Boston?
Right.
We were averaging more listeners than they were.
That's something else. Well,
they're out of business now.
Yeah.
It's a Mexican station now.
So are we.
Amy writes in, I know the other listener was worried about playing the Chargers if they end up in the playoffs. My biggest concern is the Ravens. Anyone feel the same way, or am I being paranoid?
I am with you. The Ravens would be my number one team. Chargers would be in there, though, because the reason I picked those two teams in particular is because I think they can play defense in a manner in which they might be able to slow you down and keep you at a reasonable amount of points. And if you do that, it puts some pressure on your defense. And as you guys know, I'm still not completely sold.
Plus, the Ravens just put you in a position where the game's going to come down to the end and you're going to need to make a play. And I know the Patriots have made the play this year, but if you get to that one day you don't make the play, you go home and say, one play cost us our season.
Don't confuse that's the team I would least like to see with I don't think we can beat that team. It's not the same thing.
I'll tell you right now, I'm picking the Patriots in the postseason.
Unless
a Fred Kirsch dramatic change of conditions on the ground,
yes.
I'm picking the Patriots every game they play in the postseason.
I think the Patriots will beat Baltimore in the divisional round if they match up with them right now. But that doesn't. So I'm not saying that I think they can't beat Baltimore. I'm just saying the way they play, they will not be intimidated to come here and play against the Patriots.
Quite the contrary.
And I think that they will be in contention in the game in the second half, unlike the last couple of weeks.
Steve from Toronto has a clarification. Either I misread or we were talking over Stripper's email. He said, good God, I'm listening to this ball talk and you guys are absolutely killing me. Everyone watching the game seems to have seen the ball graphic but then immediately stopped paying any attention. And none of you actually paid attention to Stripper's email, too busy talking over it.
I heard Stripper's email.
Both teams supply 36 game balls each.
Yes.
24 for indoor games. So we kind of read it that the league or, you know, the home team has to supply 36 balls. Both teams supply 36 balls, 24 for indoor games, which they treat however the QBs prefer. Before the game, the officials then test those balls to ensure that they still meet league standards. Brady prefers footballs that are worked in. Cutler simply does not care. Though he did not mind new balls, he supposed he... He supposed he preferred that. The K-balls are separate and provided by the league.
Okay, so where's the new information?
We said that the home team.
But they have the option to work on the ball.
No, but both teams provide the 36 balls.
Right, but they have the option to do whatever they want
with
them, right?
Right. Let things happen.
So you can
carry on.
Sounds like you have a lot of leeway.
That's the only part of it that I didn't know was that.
To a point.
I thought the NFL didn't allow you to doctor the ball.
If it doesn't meet the standards.
But one of the reading was that it met the pressure standards, that they have
an air gauge. Yep. Yep.
Beyond that, it sounds like you have quite a bit of leeway to.
That's the news to me. I'd like to
get back to the Cutler thing.
Does it
not
have to smell a certain way?
I don't know what a ball smell like.
Oh.
But does Cutler not care? Or does he prefer a slick ball in that situation? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, I don't think he cares as much.
Is that because he's drinking?
It could be.
Yeah, ball's so good. Toddy. That ball there has silicone on it.
Terrence in San Diego wants to know, has Paul ever given the nod and been wrong? If yes,
plenty
when?
Of times.
No, just twice.
Oh, no, that's not true.
I think it was twice.
There's been many, many times.
He's generally better when the Patriots are better.
I can't.
What kind of a nod if you're always wrong?
I can't. Well, I'm not always wrong. Let's not get mentally irregular.
He's like Fred. He picks games better when the Patriots are good than he does when they're not.
And the other part of it is it's not a result-based business. It's not, okay, I gave the nod and they ended up winning. If they're winning, 10-0 and I give the nod and then they end up falling behind 24-10 and come back and win 31-24, I was wrong. And that's happened a lot where I thought the game was over. It didn't end up being over until well after that.
And this is why it shouldn't be on the big board here at Gillette Stadium.
No, that's not why. The reason why it shouldn't be on the big board is Bill would kill me if it were on the big
and
board.
And Jeff from Texas wants to know.
That's not what we're looking for.
I had a question regarding the Paul nod. Has he ever used it in non-football situations, such as when hitting on a woman, not hitting on a woman, mind you, and Paul feels it's going well? Does he give himself the nod? Or perhaps in a job interview when he feels like he has the job in the bag. Wait
I'll let
for
you
that,
know if I ever have a job interview.
Wait, that probably
I've
hasn't
for
happened
one for
recently.
12 years.
Yes, we said that. It hasn't happened recently. Anyway, non-football nods for Paul?
Well, I would think your greatest chance of being always right would be with Eric and ladies if you gave a nod because, just give the nod right now.
The nod, it's not happening.
Give up, Eric.
I have a theory on that, by the way, that we need to talk about off the air.
Well, I don't think we need to talk about it off the air. I think there's some time left in this show.
No, it's not appropriate. Meow. It's true.
Fred, what do you usually call him?
Let's see. Terrence writes in.
One, but no.
Couldn't watch the game Sunday because it was preempted by the Chargers Chiefs here in San Diego, but I read the curse words that he made a great catch in the fourth quarter, that being Brandon Tate. He did.
That's what he does.
He laid out for that ball. That was as good a catch.
No one lays out in the snow in a 36-7 game like Brandon.
No, but that was Fred. I mean, you were at training camp. That's what he did in training camp. Every day he would have a layout, ridiculous catch. As Paul said, more often than not, he would land out of bounds.
I know, but we haven't seen him do it in a game. And that was good to see. It was good to see.
I just want to see him run in stride, downfield, make a catch, make it look like that's what his job is.
I would just like to see him actually.
He's a gimmick right now.
Have, 10 plays where he's. Looks like he's part of the offense.
Terrence
one play every week.
I don't mean to be negative, but I find it hard to believe he made a nice TD catch against the Jets, but even then, he looks shaky. What do you think about his ability and possible contributions going forward?
He'll never be a reliable receiver.
I love the Andy Hart
I just
definitive.
Don't think he will be.
I love the Andy Hart
Give me
definitive.
One thing that leads you to believe that's going to be true.
I don't think he is going to be a great receiver. I don't.
Great. I'll leave great at it. Reliable. I don't think he'll ever be what people want him to be.
He's a little stiff, is what I'll say.
Am I supposed to be stiff?
No.
No, big and stiff.
I just don't think he's
I don't
not
think
polished. He's
yeah.
not smooth. He's not his hands, his route running, nothing about it looks to me and says, that's what I look for in an NFL receiver.
He also looks to me, and this might speak to your point about being stiff, I think it looks to me like he thinks a lot. When he's
Could
playing,
be.
Doesn't
be.
Play on instinct. And maybe all the stuff that we've heard about this offense being very tough on receivers, Mentally, and, it's and, been and too, that's a why, big challenge.
And that's
for
why
him.
Maybe he might get better. I mean, he came on a team with.
Yeah, I think you either get it or you don't.
Wes Welker and Randy Moss, you know, who
exactly.
make it look
so
easy.
So it should have been a lot easier for him.
Well, maybe
and
not.
If it ain't easy
maybe,
for him now,
maybe
when
it forces
when will
you
it
to
be?
Think too much.
He doesn't
because,
bark as a puppy. He won't bark as a dog.
We'll see.
I, unlike Andy, I don't completely dismiss him as a possibility moving forward, but. Right. I am not overwhelmed by his contributions as a receiver. And, oh, by the way, he hasn't done anything as a return man in 10 weeks.
Casey in Milwaukee says, could you guys compare and contrast the 07 Patriots versus the 2010 Patriots? Obviously, this team cannot come within a play of a perfect season, but do you think this team is more fundamentally grounded with younger players that will be here for years to come?
I don't know what that means. Well, are they younger? Yes.
Yeah, they're younger. So they are more fundamentally grounded.
Fundamentally grounded, what does that mean?
They have young players. I don't know.
Well, Brady talked about this being a completely different team than 07.
Found that alarming.
In the way that they prepare during the week. In that they're younger guys, so they have to spend more time with the film. They break it down differently than they did in 07, where I guess in 07 maybe they just assume guys got it. And here maybe it's spelled out a little bit.
You think that's alarming?
No, I thought the comments about we were trying to put up as many yards as we could. It just,
I think that was funny because if you've been watching them the last few weeks, they're not putting up as many yards as they can, throwing bombs with 9 seconds
left. No, but he makes it sound like fundamentally they're thinking about different things, and I find that strange.
Yeah,
and that ties into back then when we're trying to kill people, which whatever the quote was, we're trying to blow people out every time we step
into
the field.
See, that's what it looks like to me now, too. I mean, I don't really see much of a change in that.
Yeah.
But they're definitely younger, and it would make sense to me if they're requiring more film work and, you know, that the validation.
Maybe they need a little more film work at the end of that year.
You know, Vince talked about, you know, what the differences have been after the game about just how everybody's really on board. They understand now that they've seen the tangible results of if I do this on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and I'm prepared come Sunday, these are the results that we can get. And he doesn't think that everybody was completely on board with that moving through the season. He feels like for the first time they are on board with that now. And now, you know, is that an oversimplification?
That's one of those chicken or egg things.
Yeah, as I said, is it an oversimplification? Probably.
Was he paid to speak?
Or? But no, this was after the game.
Oh.
I will say, and Fred, you made this point. I said on Sunday in your edit letter that I really agreed with.
Co-Pats.
This offense may not be as good as the 07 offense for 16 games. And even at its best, it might not be as high-powered. But right now, in December, it's playing better than the 07 offense did in December of that year. You know, teams sort of caught up with them. And, Andy, I don't know how you feel about this. I was throwing this out to Freddie. Do you think maybe the fact that teams, it took them the whole year to catch up to the 07 offense, the way they were playing, Brady throwing it deep and whatnot. The fact that the Patriots sort of transformed their offense at the beginning of October has maybe the rest of the league a little bit behind the curve in trying to prepare for it, and that's helped
you
in
have
that regard.
4 to 5 less games of tape. You're basically less than a half season into this current Patriots offense with Woodhead and Branch and what they've become.
And in terms of the way it's been rolling, you'd probably go with the Pittsburgh game as the start of the difference. You know, like they were great against Pittsburgh, great against Indy. You know, Detroit, this 5-game winning streak, the offense is sort of taking it to a new level. Maybe the defenses haven't had a ton to go on, you know, as opposed to 07 by the time you got to this point. It was a whole year of, all right, we got to make sure we do something to take away Randy Moss over the top because he's killing everybody.
Sure.
Yep. Let's see.
Fred wasn't listening at all.
Shino writes in. I'm sorry. This is Jordan in London. Love the show. Listen throughout November, so that's one more for the ratings. Fred, please tell Andy to stop giggling every time the word balls is used.
It really was uncomfortable.
Because I'm at home with headphones on, and every time he laughs, I do too, and I keep getting strange looks from family members. Anyway, to football. Great win on Sunday, and I thought Cunningham seemed to beat the right tackle a few times. He did okay.
You sure that was Cunningham and not Moore? 98, not 96?
It could be.
Because he certainly beat the right tackle a few times.
Also, do you think that McCourty is playing at Pro Bowl level, and do you think he will get there unless the Pats make it to Dallas? I think it might be too late because when the voting started. But then again, the coaches and players might get
him. Yeah, the coaches and players haven't
voted.
That's
a tall order for a rookie.
Especially when you have, let's see, who do you have in the AFC?
Revis.
You get Revis.
Cromartie, Flowers.
Yeah.
Who's else?
Quentin Jammer's pretty good.
Asamoah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
One.
Jammer.
Yeah, so it might be a little tough.
But you never, I mean,
I don't think
some of those guys won't go. He could end up a fourth alternate and get
just
there.
So you know, it's not that I don't think he's deserving, but I just think it's a very tall order. He played probably half the year without anybody knowing who he was.
And he plays on a pass defense
that's been
among
terrible.
The worst in the game. So you don't even get that vote where somebody goes, you know what, that Patriots pass defense is good and McCourty's the best player on it. You say, he's the best player on a terrible pass defense.
And just to throw another thing out there, how hard it is to really get notoriety. I saw in the Twitters on postgame, a lot of people were talking about Defensive Rookie of the Year, and we around here sort of say it's got to be McCourty, and if he can edge out Sue.
Hayden.
Well, there's been like five other guys that were thrown out there among some of the national guys on Sunday, and none of them were McCourty. You know, people were talking about Sue and Hayden and these other guys that I hadn't even really given much thought about. Eric Berry, someone was talking about.
I told you he was having a very good season.
to us, it's like, how could it not be Devin McCourty?
But they hate us.
Nationally, I'm not sure how many people are aware of him.
Fred,
is my
part
point.
Of it is the defense stinks.
They hate us.
And the other part
they're
of it
dismissing
is
people
he was quiet
on defense.
For 6 weeks.
They're the dismissing
the
people
season,
on a defense
much.
That has been awful. For the balance of the season.
Keith from Alexandria, Virginia. Due to the astronomically low odds that this email is actually read on the air, I'll get right to the point. You beat the odds. Should we be pulling for the Jets to win this week against the Steelers? We have a 2-game lead on the Jets now, but only a 1-game lead on Pittsburgh for the home field advantage. If we win against Green Bay, we would practically have the division wrapped up, if not technically, no matter what the Jets do. A Steeler loss would give us a greater chance of not only getting home field advantage, which is huge, but also maybe being able to lock it up before week 17 and being able to rest some of the guys against Miami to avoid any potential injuries, such as Wes Welker. If we lose to Green Bay and the Jets win, we would still have a 1-game edge on them and would also keep a 1-game lead on Pittsburgh for the number one seed. Am I being overconfident to not be focused on putting the nail in the Jets' coffin for the division? Oh, and please ask Eric this question when he is by later.
No, he'll be by tomorrow.
That's a good
is
point,
though. Is
that
true? What? The Steelers only have 3 losses?
Yeah. They only have 3 losses.
I thought they had 4.
No, the Ravens have 4.
Thanks.
They're a game behind.
Okay, I thought they were tied.
No.
Okay. Then you, I still think you're being overcautious if you're worried about Pittsburgh because that you in essence, do have a 2-game lead over them.
Because of the head-to-head?
Right.
This is the
I
one area
was,
where I agree with Felger. I hate this stuff.
I thought it was a 3-game lead.
I can't think 4 games ahead and this
See,
team beats
that,
this team.
You know, that's a typical Felger one, though, because you can't even talk about the playoffs with him without saying how important the bye is, but then he doesn't want to talk about how you get a bye.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He doesn't want to say, well, if this team loses and that team wins, that bores him. But you can't talk about getting to the Super Bowl as a number 5 seed with
him. I just mean
him.
Hoping that the Jets win, or do I hope that the Steelers win? You know what? It doesn't really matter who
you
hope
I would
wins.
Root against the Jets because I just think it's fun to root against the Jets.
I just realized that it doesn't really matter what you root or hope for. The game's going to play out as it will.
Do you ever wonder how he made it through childhood?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think he's left childhood.
Like, you make fun of
there.
Me for that kind of statement all the time.
Yeah.
He's the non-fan in this group.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm a big-time fan.
It doesn't matter who you root
and
for.
And I'll even say, like,
gonna,
the Patriots.
Thanks, Andy.
Paul
you broke
would.
It down
the
for
Patriots.
Us. You broke it down for us, Andy. It doesn't matter who you root for because it's not really going to impact what happens on the field. You are correct.
Scoreboard watching and all that stuff, as Bill said post-game.
I mean, I've never watched a game. I mean, I would cover these foolish MIAA playoff games for the Boston Herald in, like, field hockey.
Why are they foolish?
5 minutes into the game, I would decide I was rooting for one team over the other.
Well,
I
do that, but I don't go in thinking on ramifications. It generally involves something somebody does.
I would never
or...
watch a game if I wasn't rooting for one team or the other.
But I don't go in.
I don't know how
you know,
you
if
can.
The Jets win, this happens. I go in and something happens in the first 5 minutes and it sways me.
You know how you always make fun of me for not watching Monday Night Football?
Right.
Those are the ones that I don't watch. If it's like San Francisco against Arizona and I don't care,
right.
I can't watch. Right. I have to root for somebody.
Well, I find a reason to hate somebody and then I
Well, you probably root for an injury and that gets you through the day.
Yeah, you root against. You don't root for anyone.
A lot of times I do root against.
You're a miserable, miserable man.
Oh, you can't tell me that when the Jets were in the playoffs, you weren't rooting against them?
Last year?
Yeah.
I was rooting for the Colts to beat them because I kind of... Nah, never mind. I was rooting for Manning to win. I was.
Carl writes in, hey, guys, love the show. I've been listening
for
2 years.
But I was rooting for the Jets to beat Cincinnati. I hate Cincinnati.
Oh, God, Paul. How can you do that?
Because I hate Cincinnati.
More than the Jets?
In that case, yes.
Oh, man.
So let's just recap. Paul was rooting for the Jets and the Colts.
No, I was rooting, right. And I was rooting for San Diego. And the
and you're not the fan?
Right. No, but I'm saying the fan. Like, how could you watch a game and say, it doesn't matter who I root for because it's not going to impact the
game?
No,
but I make that decision in the game because of something. I don't go in with these, like, stat sheets
in
my head.
I do that in college a lot.
I was rooting
for college.
You see something, and you just say, you know,
but you might not have anything going in as who it benefits in college.
Yeah.
But in San Diego, I was rooting for San Diego against the Jets. That's bad. That's a Patriots rival.
Good, Paul.
So now we have it. Paul roots for the Jets, Colts, and Chargers.
Right. See, that's my point. Like, who? If I was rooting for Cincinnati, I'd be rooting for, you know, you have to root for somebody.
Cincinnati's not a rival of the Patriots. The three teams you were rooting for are rivals of the Patriots.
Do you notice that as soon as we realized that we only had 10 shows last month and the ratings went up, Doc came and took over the show from Kevin? Yeah.
They're not listening. They're planning what they can steal from the Red Sox to spice up pregame energy.
Carl writes in, hey, guys, love the show. Been listening for 2 years straight and follow Curse Words every Sunday. So screw the ratings. I say you guys rock. My question is, if the Patriots make it to Dallas, which NFC team would you like to see? P.S. Arizona. P.S. going to my first Patriots game when they come to Buffalo, and I'm freaking pumped. You guys rock. Go Pats. That's a tough game. To
want to see in terms of what? Easiest foe? Or
yeah,
what?
I guess who would you want to see them play?
Chicago again.
Yeah.
No, I was thinking more, who do I want to see? Like, who do I want to see play, matchup?
To me, it would be the best matchup.
Oh, my God.
Philadelphia.
I might lean towards New Orleans. I'd be intrigued by a Patriots-Saints Super
Bowl. I'd be intrigued by Bill against Michael Vick. I think that would be the best storyline to watch.
Yeah.
What do you think, Freddie? New Orleans or Philadelphia? I like New Orleans, by the way. That's a strong number two. Matter of fact, those are the two that I picked for the SPFW
question. It's really hard for me because I think any team that gets there from the NFC obviously has been playing well. And so I'll be scared of any of them.
You.
I'll be scared of all of them. Like, if Vic gets there.
I were you, I'd fear Vic.
Yeah.
Just that he has that game on that day and embarrasses you.
Right, just because of that. But even New Orleans, you know, they've been coming on. At the beginning of the year, a lot of people wrote them off, but they've been just winning games.
By the way,
now
they're starting to do that thing with the turnovers again.
Yeah.
That they did last year.
Except Roman Hopper got caught by Sam
Bradford. I saw that play as the show was going on.
You know, you see the Sam Chise? That's a franchise quarterback. You chase down a guy in the open field for don't let him give up the easy touchdown.
I guess I would like to see the Rams if they happen to get there because the young quarterback.
Well, in terms of the worst team that you could face, it would be whoever the NFC West champ is.
Now, I was thinking more story, game, fun, Saints, Eagles.
And that's why I picked Philadelphia, you know, for that reason.
Yeah, those would probably be
I hate the Eagles, but see, that's a team I wouldn't root for.
Yeah.
Not against the Patriots, Fred. I don't root for Philadelphia against anybody.
Why?
I would root for the Giants over Philadelphia. Matter of fact, I'll be doing that this week.
The good news is the Eagles, we could just redo the Super Bowl preview about how they're the two most dominant, consistent teams of the era with ownership and all that stuff.
The one I did 3 years ago, six years ago?
We'll just change McNabb to Vic.
Just dust it off, Aaron writes in, he has an on-air read. We were talking about we should do on-air reads. This is one I guess would be read by Eric Scalavino because it says, hi, I'm Eric Scalavino, and if you're like me, sometimes you overscuff your balls. That's why I invented this great new product, Scalavino's Better Ball Buffer. Never overscuff, buff, rough, or scratch your balls again with this cashmere ball buffer. And if you act now, I'll throw in Andy's Hearts ball box for free. Your friends will be jealous when they see you take your balls out of Andy's box. All this for three friendly payments of $9.99 or free with a new PFW in progress subscription.
That was well written. The ball buffer, blah, blah, blah. It was
an
alliteration.
Wasn't a bad read either.
Good read.
Freddie
Which
did a
was
good
weird.
Job. Freddie
you know
did a good
why?
Job.
There was no pressure because he was pretending.
I tell
you,
I'm good with a prompter.
You have no prompter.
What the hell do you call this in front of my face?
A laptop.
It's still words on a screen.
I call that balls in front of your face.
Oh, God.
You know what they say, if you get balls on your chin.
All right, well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. I see John Rook in the house, and I don't know what the hell he's going to nitpick about this game.
He'll find
Brady
he'll find
throwing
something.
The ball to the other team.
Step inside the playbook, and he'll find a
penalties
nitpick.
Penalties on punt return touchdowns, kick coverage. What else we got? That's about it,
That
right?
footage is unbelievable, that Metrodome roof collapsing.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, it was really good, Fred. It was a heartwarming story.
How lucky are though? That happened the night before.
Did somebody screw up?
No, they did it intentionally.
No, but was it unavoidable? Or I've heard that a lot of these domes, they jack the temperature up to 90, and that causes the snow to melt.
Or did somebody screw something up, or was it just too much snow, too fast, nothing anybody could do, and it fell?
Well, I don't know truth or – I don't know the engineering side of it, but the I don't know if this is true, but the Fox people said some stadium workers told them it's going to – there's a very good chance that that was going to happen. And
yeah, but did he say, I forgot to turn the heat up, so there's a good chance the roof's going to collapse?
You know, because they set all their cameras up
right
the night before. Well, because the workers told them that they felt like that was a very real possibility, they all were running.
Huh.
All, that's why they got the footage.
That's interesting.
Because nowadays, you're not like you're wasting tape nowadays. It's just memory. You just go and
well,
erase
the question
it.
Is, it was it an avoidable? Was there something
well,
that
evidently,
they could have
the
done?
Winds were too high for the people to get up there and work on it.
Okay.
Normally, they get rid of that snow as soon as they can, and they couldn't because it was unsafe.
Add that to list kinda of
like,
jobs Andy doesn't want.
Kind of like Maverick flying. He's unsafe.
So how long are we going here?
All right. Well, John Rook's up with Patriots Playbook. We'll be back tomorrow with
more
intriguing ball
tailgate.
Talk.
Tailgate.
See you then.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.